Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are locked and loaded in the info war. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. We have a guest joining us in 2 hours, an expert on what's happening with the security situation in Mexico as they collapse into full-born civil war. In the meantime, though, we are going to have wide open phones today on any issue, any item, anything you wish to discuss. I love all the different topics and issues and ideas, the wild card that the listeners as callers add to the transmission. And I would like to hear from folks all over the planet with their concerns about the banker-designed worldwide meltdown, the people awakening to the tyranny that's taking place, the fact that more and more mainstream news articles admit a world government is being set up by the very private central banks that have engineered the crises that we face. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Here's the headlines. Dow Industrials fall below 7,000 today, lowest since 1997. Worst job losses in 60 years expected. Reports on ISM payroll should show recession intensifying. Economic crises threatens the idea of the European Union itself. EU rejects a rescue of faltering Eastern Europe. MI5 alert on bank riots. Daily Express reporting what we already knew, that the U.S. British militaries are on standby for martial law. New Iron Curtain will split EU's rich and poor. AP reports CIA destroyed 92 interrogation tapes. Another important story here by Kurt Nemo at Infowars.com. New World Order crony Gary Hart calls for compulsory civic duty. Bloggers are not journalists, according to a new Senate bill, so they can restrict free speech and also violate people's journalistic rights that have been enshrined in all free nations to not give up sources. Ron Paul says we killed 1 million Iraqis at the big conservative conference that Rush Limbaugh was the keynote speaker at and got applauded. He got applauded saying we shouldn't be in Iraq because, you see, there is a media illusion that most conservatives want war and like the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan. Only weak-minded, fake conservatives believe that, and it's evidenced by many different pieces of data, but the biggest one is that Ron Paul, I have a correction to make, I actually looked the numbers up, Ron Paul didn't just get more contributions of any Republican candidate, he got more contributions, period, more than Obama from the military. Why? Because he would really end that war overnight. So just amazing piece of data there. It's just like they claim that all Hispanics want open borders and want to merge Mexico and the U.S., but Gallup polls show upwards of 80% are against it, just like every other American. It's this groupthink. All conservatives are for war. They're actually not. All Hispanics want open borders. Actually, the vast majority aren't. It just goes on and on. All liberals are for gun control. And then you talk to the average liberal, they're like, I actually own guns and don't agree with the Democrats on that. This is how they get you into groupthink, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll go over that report as well. Very important article out of the BBC. Designer baby fight over U.S. clinic. Actual headline is designer baby row over U.S. clinic. And every time I use that British term, people email me and say, what's a row or row? It's a fight. So I just always change that when I see that. Designer baby row over U.S. clinic. U.S. clinic has sparked controversy by offering would-be parents the chance to select traits like eye color, hair color of their offspring. We'll get into that. And Gordon Brown is announcing the New World Order as a new global deal to be pushed by the U.S. and England. Of course, the Anglo-American banking establishment. Iran calls U.S. nuclear bomb statement propaganda. Certainly is. CNN ran the headline that top admiral says Iran has enough to make nuke, and then they had to back off of that. This and a lot more coming up today. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live. It is the second day of March 2009. Be here for the next 3 hours and 51 minutes, 20 seconds. And you know what? I always say I'm going to get to your calls early in the first hour and then very rarely do it because I end up going into all the news. I'll get into the Dow Jones fall below 7,000, lowest since 97, worst job losses in 60 years expected. Economic crisis threatens the idea of the European Union. We're going to cover it all today, and we have a very informative guest coming up in about 2 hours dealing with the collapse that's ongoing, the civil war in Mexico. Another very important article out of England about their military standing by for martial law. The U.S. military is standing by for martial law. And the military is being told, oh, we're just now getting ready for martial law in America because of the economic crisis. After decades of quiet preparation and the elites bragging that they were going to stage an economic collapse to bring in martial law. And then even our own Patriot movement debates whether the banking collapse is by design or not. Let me see. These are the very same banks that have done this in hundreds of third world countries and who bragged that they were going to set this up in the United States. In the 70s and in the 80s and the 90s, they wrote books and public publications about it and white papers. And then 3 years ago, we got inside info from Bilderberg Group and detailed exactly what they were going to do, how they were going to pop the subprime mortgage in the next 3 years, how they were going to bring down the world economy, bankrupt it, and set up the new bank of the world. And then, 5 months before it really started plunging, Lindsay Williams comes out, who on record did work for Atlantic Richfield, and says the former head of that company told him that the elite was going to plunge gas prices from $147 to $150 a barrel to below 50. It's at like at 33 right now. Everybody laughed at Williams, and it dropped to below what he said it would. And then, I forgot to even play this last week. I got to pull it up. John, I sent it to you. It's the George Soros clip. Kurt Nemo wrote an article about it, so did Steve Watson. George Soros admits elite plunging oil to bankrupt Middle East. They now admit they're doing it. This will cause Central America, South America to go into depression. This will cause the Arabs to go into depression. This will cause the Russians to go into depression. This will cause Canada to go into depression. All these major nations based on oil. All the different areas they've been exploring oil out of the Congo and other areas in North Africa and Western Africa of oil. It's a perfect plan, and we're on record laying out what they were going to do, and it all happened. Well, we know what they're saying they're going to do next. And let me tell you, it goes from bad to worse. Ladies and gentlemen, they are going to destroy the economy, and then right at the point of peaceful revolution with the states taking the nation back and the people waking up, the feds are going to bomb the daylights out of the United States, Israel, and other countries. You can guarantee it. All the intellectual evidence, all the data points, and I have hundreds of them, literally thousands of different systems and ideas and data and past operations and history that I integrate and bring forward. You know, that's when a good police detective, they say, oh, he's got a nose or he's got a hunch. It's not a hunch. It's doing the job for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. It's eating, drinking, and sleeping something. You get a very scary, power of being able to understand what the establishment's going to do. Just like a detective gets a, if they're a good detective, they've kind of gotten rid of that art. In fact, they admit the FBI got rid of more than 90%, that is, they moved them, of their detectives, their investigators that investigate white-collar crime by the elites. Instead, they go shake down, you know, small businesses and things for supposed fraud. It's non-enforcement, the criminals run the society, but I digress. Let's go to your phone calls right now. anti-Illuminati in Nevada. You're on the air, anti-Illuminati.
Good morning, Alex.
Hi.
I respectfully would ask you to give me the floor here. I've got a lot of really important things to talk about.
Well, I got to let other callers. Hold on. I got to let other callers get on as well. So you got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
In 3 days, there's going to be the Warfighters Vision 2009 at the Ronald Reagan Building. Lieutenant General Stephen Blum of Northern Command is going to be there. They're having a cybersecurity conference. NORTHCOM is going to be involved with quote-unquote cybersecurity. On 3/11, 5 years after the Madrid train blackout, Major General Chip Long of Joint Task Force Civil Support, along with Colonel Stephen Hearn, both of Northern Command, are going to be at Domestic Defense 09 at the same place. You can figure that out. This is all on your website. Lesser known, on April 22nd, there's going to be the Spring Intelligence Symposium, Defense Intelligence Analysis Center, at the DIAC, Bowling Air Force Base, Washington, above top secret meeting. It's going to consist of people like former SecDef William Perry and General Michael Hayden, again, with cybersecurity. Some of their sponsors, none other than CACI and SAIC. You're going to have CACI torture goon squads in the United States running cybersecurity, folks. Okay? They don't need an introduction if you know who these guys are. Some of their exhibitors, Bit Systems, CSS, Mantec International, all these guys are going to be involved with the fusion centers. I want to call out something right now. I know who's carrying out, I know that you guys listening that are in intelligence, I know who's carrying out all this false flag cyber crap that you guys are pulling. It's Booz Allen Hamilton and MITRE Corporation. Both of your organizations are criminal terrorist organizations, and you're under the AFCA, which is the Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association, as well as the NCOIC, which is the Network Centric Operations Industry Consortium. All of you are criminal terrorists, and you generals that I mentioned, you are enemies of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and you need to be arrested, and you need to be tried for treason immediately. Get the hell out of my country. If you think that I will submit to you, or the American people are going to submit to you, have been illegally set up. General Eberhard was with Dick Cheney. You carried out 9/11 because you wanted to springboard enterprise architecture development within the Federal Aviation Administration. I've got your own documents. I've posted documents that you people don't even realize. I'm not talking to your listeners. I'm talking to the New World Order. I've got military documents from the Air Force that says that Hussein Aberman was developing PTEC, and it was going to be used for military experimentation for C4ISR development. Okay? All of you top brass that are going to be engaging in this fake, non-existent cyber terror that's going to be staged by Booz Allen Hamilton and all this, it's ridiculous. And I want to mention one other thing. There's another reason why cybersecurity is a total fraud, okay? NORTHCOM, as well as every other one of their allies in the New World Order, they're immune to cyber attacks. Do you know why? Because they have something called a TechGuard polywall filter. It's a $7,500 transparent network bridge appliance that uses artificial intelligence neural net devices that heuristically analyzes incoming traffic. And there's a symposium that they had where they did simulated attacks from China, and they were able to successfully defeat everything. The New World Order systems are immune to attack, even the ones that are on the regular grid, irrespective of not. They have their own separate systems. But they're already immune to stuff. The only ones that aren't immune are the ones that they carry false flags out on so that they can sell that as an excuse. Well, you need more security because, well, you know, the system needs to be changed because you need to get onto our enslavement system.
Let me stop you there. About 95% of what you're saying I've documented for myself and is on record. The remote control of the planes, the data, their internal systems, their generations of cybersecurity, 5 generations ahead of what's public. That's all on record. When you mention that particular firm, I don't know a lot about them, but I do know about the defense contractors you listed. You have posted a lot of stuff on the prisonplanet.com forum, haven't you? Okay, well, tell folks, because people need to go read all the claims you've made and decide whether they're accurate for themselves, especially the computer security people, hackers, and other folks like that. Why don't you give people the name of the pages up on the PrisonPlanet.com forum?
Okay, all this stuff that I'm talking about is really easy to get to. You just go to the general, you just click on general, and then there's a section that says PhD investigative reports. Everything is within that section.
So PhD investigative reports,
yep.
PrisonPlanet.com forum. Google that, and folks can go in and read your information. So specifically, because a lot of what you're saying I've already checked out and confirmed for myself. Some of it I couldn't, just because I'm not that tech savvy. I'm just going off what other tech publications have admitted and what the government's admitted. I mean, what specifically do you do? I mean, how did you learn about all this stuff?
I just have a computer background, and I guess I'm talented with analyzing information. I want to mention one other thing that's very important before you let me go, please. The guy who was the head of the director of in the Department of Defense of Architecture and Interoperability in 2002, whose name was John Osterholz,
mm-hmm.
in the Department of Defense. He is the chair of the technical council for the NCOIC, which is a network-centric operation center. He was one of the guys that Indira Singh gave the report about PTEC to that didn't do anything, that knew what it was about, because he was part of the, he was collaborating with the inside job. And he tried to claim that Al-Qaeda had network-centric capability in 2003. Yeah, right. Al-Qaeda had it, but let's see. PTEC didn't have it, and the National Reconnaissance didn't have it, right, John? Mr. Osterholz, you criminal terrorist?
All right. Well, I don't know about that individual. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back. That was quite a data dump from the last caller. But this claim that Al-Qaeda from its caves and the Chinese are going to shut down the Internet. Meanwhile, the globalists tell us what they're doing. They are not updating the hubs. They are killing the old Internet, forcing us onto the new highly surveilled control one, as the New York Times said, where you will have no freedoms, but you'll, quote, be safe. So they're going to kill the Internet. They have to kill it. We're beating their propaganda machine, and they know it. It's already too late, guys. Everybody knows the foreign banks own the military and own the country and have carried it out their takeover through fraud. And so you could shut the web down today. We've already gotten the word out, and you're going to end up going to prison in the end. Be aware of that. Dino in Oregon. Dino, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Campaign for Liberty is doing so well. Ron Paul is just steaming ahead, acting as if the campaign was never over, and more young people are going to the Campaign for Liberty, and they're becoming something. Like, people are saying, what do I do? What do I do? Well, what you do is you become a city councilman, you become the trash collector, you become the cop, you become the volunteer firefighter, and you use your knowledge of liberty and, go forward and spread it.
That's right. We have people everywhere, and Ron Paul had a big rally in Austin, I'm told, that was attended by thousands. I couldn't make it because I was working on the new film and doing the radio show Sunday, but, and again, Ron Paul growing, reaching more people. Ron Paul and libertarian information and our information is the hottest thing on college campuses. The Bilderberg Group, from two different conferences, our sources said, specifically brought up the fact that the Patriot Movement is what's hot with the young people. They're not being fake conservatives or fake liberals. They're waking up. Ron Paul got cheered at the big national conservative conference this weekend when he said the war was bad and torture was bad. And I mean, people are waking up.
He's on CNN far more than any guest that was running for anything in the last year. Another piece of information about Iran disinformation. Rick Steves has recently gone to Iran. Whether you like him or not, he has shown some good images from Iran, showing it a ancient, wise, and peaceful culture. If you go to Iran Daily, Iran Daily is a newspaper that spits out the truth. It looks like they are progressing ahead and making friends with people all over the region. There will
Iran,
be no attack on Iran.
Look, it's the same reason, and I appreciate your call, that the globalists attacked Serbia. They had aircraft manufacturing plants, car manufacturing plants. People were starting to vacation there in Europe and worldwide. They were first world, and they were not owned by the bankers. Same thing with Iran. Its cities look like New York and Chicago. They're even nicer and cleaner. And they, what is it, about half their population's under 25. They're very pro-Western. And the globalists can't allow that. That's why they took the Shah out when he quit taking their orders and put the Ayatollah Khomeini in power. And that's on record. That's documented, folks. People just have trouble believing it. They use radical Muslims to bring down mainline first world Middle Eastern countries. Take Iraq. First world, 60% of their college graduates, including doctors and lawyers, women. Women weren't wearing the headdresses. Women were voting. Women had liberties. Women had freedoms. Not anymore. Iraq's now an Islamic state. On and on and on and on. The radical Muslims work for the New World Order, period. Let's talk to Chris in Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, Alex. Long-time listener. Love you.
Good to have you on board.
We had a couple questions. I'll try to make this fast. We were wondering what your opinion was. We live in a really small town. Our fire company is maybe in like two or three garage. FEMA came in and offered a grant of $75,000 to them for a venting system. Is that normal thing for FEMA to do? Or
a venting system where?
In their fire company building.
Well, what happens is...
You know.
Yeah, let me explain. The first money FEMA gives a town or county, even the smallest towns, will be very reasonable. Like, oh, FEMA wants to give you a venting system, or FEMA wants to give you some gas mask. But it's the contract, waiving your rights, going under federal control, having to then go to mandatory FEMA meetings because you took the money, and then a year later, by the way, can we have mass graves here and incinerators? And by the way, we need your preachers to work with us to control your town of 500 people. I mean, this is on record. So see, first the vampire shows up at your doors with a bouquet of roses and says, hey, can I come in? I got some roses. And then you give him permission to come in, and then now he's involved in your life. Don't let the vampire in.
Okay. And the other question I have, here we had found out that they're doing a major tax on tobacco. Like, I pay $13 for one of those pound bags, and she said it was going up to, like, $25. Plus,
yeah,
the
state taxes, federal taxes, everything's exploding. They're going to put taxes now on your cars. That's in the Boston Globe today. Logan parking costs may soar. Governor proposes adding $2 carbon tax fee to lot and garage rates. All parking garages. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We'll come back and continue with calls. Stay with us. Through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we are live Central Standard Time.
You don't have to go. Little baby, tell me you won't go. We'd be so good together if we had the time.
All right, coming up, I'll get into all the financial news and a lot more. But right now, we are taking your phone calls. Oh, no. Let's go ahead and talk to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to the airwaves.
Thank you, Alex. Just wanted to say, you know, the power of your show comes from the listeners, and today's callers have been awesome. They've really given me a lot of strength and courage that we're going to do something. I want you to know you have a lot of supporters at verbalmilitia.com and justin.tv. We listen to you every day, and we chat, and we talk about ways to get active, and those are two things I wanted to address quickly so you can move on. Two quick and easy steps. Number one, a little after midnight Eastern Standard Time, AOL put out a poll about people standing up and questioning Obama's citizenship. You can vote there. It's on the front page on AOL Political News. And it's about 50-50 people that are questioning it. Also, the second thing you can do, and I do this every week, Google your zip code and the word representatives. And when you do that, you get a list of people, your local state senators and legislators, people that will actually take your calls and read your emails. I do this every week. I kind of have a list of rants that I put together. The trick is you send it out, send a mass email out to all three or all four. I mean, you can do any amount of reps. And I email people that you mentioned on the show, Charles Key, Cynthia McKinney. So I send these emails out, like I said, once a week to a lot of people. But I also email it to myself so that it comes back to my inbox. And then the next week, all I have to do is, you know, make my amendments and change things that I'm fired up about this week, or, you know, ways to respond to those representatives.
And as we raise the background noise of people putting out real issues and real information, we become the mainstream. And we are in a race before the globalists stage their next terror attack or start their new war or release a new bioweapon. And we've got to get that done. Anything else there, Joe?
Your thoughts on Iran versus Russia. Is this all just WWF fake wrestling grandstanding, or is there really a threat there?
What, of Iran going to war with Russia?
Yes. Do you think that's a possibility?
No. I appreciate your call. You know, they've had some problems in the past, and Russia has tried to take over territory in Iran's mountainous north before. But it's Russia there that is building their peaceful nuclear reactors. It's Russia giving them a lot of technology. And so I don't see a big issue there. I see Israel with Benjamin Netanyahu striking Iran and starting World War III. I mean, that alone will just really escalate things with Pakistan and India. And India and China and the disputed Kashmir area with Pakistan and India. That's how world wars start. Generally in the sub-states as proxies via the larger empires. And you have the RAND Corporation saying they want a war to start in that region that will rival World War II in size. So that then the American people are in a battle that's so hardcore we don't have a very good chance of winning, the media will say, unless everybody gets in on the fight. And then the mass propaganda will only intensify. I mean, they're going to spend tens of billions of dollars domestically, quote, for the image of the Pentagon right now. They are really gearing up the war propaganda right now. With Three Doors Down and Kid Rock and all these other rock bands being paid tens of millions of dollars to produce these propaganda pieces, NASCAR being used as a, you like NASCAR, don't you? Well, then you should be for war and joining the military and attacking other nations. The media is now right back where they were before they attacked Iraq, saying, yes, Iran has nukes. And then CNN hours later had to retract that and say, might be able to get nukes, and then retract it again and say, well, there could be a chance that they might actually have some of the materials to build a nuke or nukes. And it just goes on from there. They are really gearing up, and I'll go back to that group of stories 2 weeks ago that was in Israeli newspapers and also in the London Telegraph, where Israel publicly brags that it is staging terror attacks in Iran, committing assassinations and bombings to destabilize it. These are acts of war, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine if Iran was in the United States or in Israel or openly announcing they were in Israel, staging terror attacks? You know, Israel says that Iran is covertly funding Hamas. Hamas is the arch enemy of Hezbollah. Iran does fund Hezbollah. That's a Shiite group. They are not funding Hamas, but they know the public is ignorant. It's just like when George Bush and then John McCain and others and the Pentagon keep saying that Iran is funding the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, the Wahhabist in Afghanistan, and Mohammad Karzai, the U.S. puppet, on the White House lawn with Bush said, "I apologize, Your Excellency, but I just, that's wrong. Iran is the arch enemy of Wahhabist." Because Karzai knew how ridiculous that was to the billion plus Muslims. I mean, that is ridiculous. That's like if Bush got up and said, the Dallas Cowboys are the Seattle Seahawks. And then you go, no, Mr. President, the Dallas Cowboys are not the Seattle Seahawks. That'd be like if Bush got up and said, yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are having a good training camp outside Seattle right now. And they're going to be, you know, based out of Seattle. And, you know, they've always been based out of Seattle. And Roger Staubach, you know, played for the Cowboys in Seattle. You'd say, no, that's not true. The Dallas Cowboys are in Dallas, Texas. They're out of Arlington, the suburb, Texas Stadium. I mean, it's that stupid to the world. Europeans know it's ridiculous. The Chinese know it's ridiculous. Africans know the difference between Shiite and Sunni. It is just such an insult to everyone's intelligence. You know, they've handed down a death sentence to Chemical Ali, is his nickname, today in Iraq. The third death sentence they've handed down to him, third trial. Remember how they claim they killed him five different times and they'd show his dead body? And they'd show the dead bodies of Saddam's sons and then later report, oh, actually they're alive, and then report they'd killed him again. They just had to have somebody that Americans knew. Oh, Chemical Ali. They even give him a nickname because Americans can't grasp the guy's real name. How do we go from the smartest and most informed to the stupidest, the most ill-informed, uninformed, ignorant? So they go, oh, we killed Chemical Ali again, and we killed him, and we'll kill him next week. Meanwhile, 5 years ago, we reported, 4 years ago, New Yorker Magazine reported, and then a year and a half ago, the White House put out a press release on whitehouse.gov saying, we are using these five different groups, four of them Wahhabist. The number three in Al-Qaeda commands the biggest group, attacking Iran on their border, going in and engaging in sabotage. And then now Israel admits they're doing it. And it's Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was used to go after the Serbs. Al-Qaeda was used to go after the Russians. Al-Qaeda is used in Africa. Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. It's so off the chart, though. It's so brazen. It's so over the top to have Al-Qaeda working for the U.S. government. But who created Al-Qaeda in 1979? The Mujahideen. Zbigniew Brzezinski. Who runs the foreign policy of the White House right now? Zbigniew Brzezinski. I mean, who could imagine that the National Security Council did a deal with the Iranians to kidnap the hostages as a pretext to then be able to build up a police state here in the U.S., expand the military, and then ship them hundreds of millions of dollars in weapons and cash? On record, that happened. Iran-Contra is what it's called. On record, the CIA Solicitor General admitted in congressional hearings in 1996 that the CIA ships in cocaine and heroin. It is a fact, ladies and gentlemen, and that's who runs our military. You've got, you know, I read online, and I watch these videos on YouTube before they pull them, where little kids will get run over by a convoy, and their brains will be everywhere, and the trucks just keep running over them, and then the troops are laughing, going, yeah, look at that stupid little Haji. They call them Hajis. They have the term gook for Asians in Vietnam. And there's all the videos of troops and contractors just sitting off the road, shooting up vans full of families, and then going, look at the Hajis run. Look at them die. Just on major highways, killing them. And then people say, oh, how dare you bash the troops? This is going on. Because, oh, it's those Hajis that attacked us on 9/11. They deserve to die. And now these guys are coming home to be Homeland Security minions in your town. They've lost their humanity. Now, a lot of the troops come back and speak out and say no. That's why they've had, what is it, seven times the record suicides, the previous record from a war, Vietnam. Seven times the suicides over there. Because people that have any humanity get their mind and their soul wrecked by this. 1 million 300,000. Lancet has always been very accurate. The Lancet medical community, nonpartisan, said over a million, and that was 3 years ago. They just put out the fact that there is six times the number of women dying in fire accidents in India that there are anywhere in the world. You know why? Because in India, Lancet put out the, in fact, somebody Google that. I meant to print it this morning, and my printer was out of ink at home. Lancet Medical Journal report on burnings of women in India. Lancet report burnings of women in India. I want a separate issue. The point is, no one's disputing Lancet's numbers of tens of thousands of women a year being burned to death, because it's, there's a billion, 100 and something million people in India. And women are a liability in India, and so people will marry 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 women in the course of a decade, get the dowry, because the family will pay to get rid of their daughter. And then they will take the woman, tie her down, and pour gasoline on her, and the police take a blind eye because it's cultural. And please don't email me saying I'm bashing people in India. There's a lot of different groups and sects over there. The point is that they need to stop burning the women. Do you hear the feminist groups crying out against this? Oh, absolutely not. Feminism's getting sterilized and not having babies and making sure you got to work 3 or 4 jobs so you can't raise your children so the state can. That's what modern feminism is, not actually stopping these women, not just basic humanity. The point is, nobody's disputing the Lancet Medical Journal saying that they're burning up all these women in India. But the Pentagon tried to dispute with no evidence and later had to admit it was true. 1,300,000 dead Iraqis, and now they try to make it illegal in Iraq for any of those numbers to be compiled by the puppet government. I don't want that done in my name. And if you care about the military and our military's fine history, you need to repent for rationalizing this and making jokes about it. And all these TV ads, you know, showing the troops playing soccer with the kids, and all these PR things about troops taking care of kids and taking care of dogs and, you know, taking care of people in Iraq. A lot of that's true. But what is promoted, what is supported, what is pushed is outright murdering and slaughtering these people. So all these good old boys shoot their mouths off. Yeah, let's just parking lot the whole area. Just murdered all of them. They hit us on 9/11. Listen to me, you degenerate, scumbag, wicked devil. You need to actually look at the photographs of 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds with their arms and legs blown off and the video of them in their parents' arms as they weep. You need to look at that and you need to face what you're doing. And I know you do. The neocons go on these sites and post comments cheering about it. They love it. They are totally given over to the darkest elements of the soul. Our country is run by evil. Our military is run by evil. Period. And now they're preparing to use it against us. I suggest we discredit it now so that we have a chance of reconstituting it under the Republic. See, that's why they brought in Obama, to kind of make everybody forget about Bush worldwide in the U.S. so the abuses and carnage can continue. Headline, Obama backs Bush on no rights for detainees worldwide. Brad in Colorado, you're on the air, Brad.
Hi, Alex. I want to thank you for everything that you're doing in the movement. You're a courageous inspiration to all of us, and every day it helps me get up and fight a little harder knowing that you're on the air doing what you're doing. My wife was in the World Trade Center when the plane hit. She had just gotten off the PATH train from New Jersey City, and she worked in the complex. She had a client in one of the World Trade Centers. And I have studied a lot of the aspects of 9/11, needless to say. And I've tried to get more people listed into the movement and to understand what's going on. And one of the areas that I find effective that I just want to pass on to your listeners is that people who have occupations that are kind of out of the mainstream to begin with tend to be more receptive. And I've been able to get many chiropractors, of all things. I'm actually in finance. But the chiropractors are much more receptive to listening to this, and I find a good way to do this is to go into Richard Gage's Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth and just encourage them to look at the PowerPoint presentation. Because of the way that it's presented in a scientific manner, it appeals to kind of what they're looking at. But anyone like mercury-free dentists, and they come in contact with the public, obviously, on a daily basis. And it's been a good source to kind of...
No, that's great, because they're people that come in contact with a lot of folks, like you said, and also they've already awakened to a lot of the propaganda, so I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I would just like to encourage that instead of making the case yourself, get them to look at Architects and Engineers on a PowerPoint presentation, let them do their own work. And
did your wife survive?
She did. The plane hit. She got out of the building immediately.
Stay there. I want to hear more about it when we get back. More calls straight ahead. Tons of news. Stay with us.
I hear the train coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
You know, even in World War II, which you can call, a righteous war, until you find out the British, Lord Milner Group, actually financed Hitler with an aim to destroy Europe, to bring the U.S. into a world war, to set up world government. They set up these crazies. When they bombed Dresden in one night, 500,000 people died. You know, more people died in a 1,000-bomber attack about a month before Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, when they dropped incendiary bombs from over 1,100 aircraft, when Japan had no air defenses, and over a million people burned to death. See, and then once you have that cold-blooded attitude, that's why General Curtis LeMay, when he was later in the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the 50s, and that's basically what Dr. Strangelove is based on, his dark satire, wanted to launch, this came out in congressional testimony, a preemptive nuclear attack on Russia. Now, this is the type of idea. Then out of Curtis LeMay came General L.L. Lemenser, who wanted to hijack jets by remote control, bomb D.C., commit sniper attacks nationwide, and blame it on foreign enemies. That's ABC News, Baltimore Sun. You can read the document, Operation Northwoods. That was in the 60s. Then there's over 200 declassified staged government terror attacks that the government admits they staged. It's in Army training manuals for captains that we've posted at prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. So once you know that, then you understand how they can just shoot Iraqi children and laugh and call them Hajis. It's that mindset that trickled down, that rolled down the hill, and they're trying to convert the military over to this mindset. Now, the good news is the majority of the military is not like that. But the leadership is and protects the bad guys instead of keeping the military clean, because they want to corrupt the military. Why do you think the Pentagon on record gave out more than $60 billion, and that was as of 3 years ago, in giant pallets of cash? A private gets $30,000. A master sergeant might get a couple hundred grand. Colonels get millions. It's to corrupt them, and they can say, hey, you took that money. It's disgusting. They've created a mercenary army of lawless criminals within our own government. Hitler did the same thing, corrupting the German military. Hey, some good news. The 31st state has introduced a draft in Oregon. Declaring sovereignty under the 10th Amendment. So it's just more and more is happening. Very, very exciting there. I'm going to go to your calls for the full next hour and cover some important economic news. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231. George, Will, Perry, Steve, and many others. 1-800-259-9231. I am very, very excited about the buzz going on and all the folks on YouTube and other channels promoting the Obama deception that comes out in just 11 or 12 days, because it really comes out, you know, on the 14th, comes out on the 15th. you don't count the 15th as a day, so we're talking about 13 days, 12 days or so, depending on how you look at it, before the Obama deception comes out. I hope folks will go to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and link through to the secure online video and bookstore shopping cart and get your pre-order for the Obama deception in so that it'll be shipped out to you first. The ObamaDeception.net or Infowars.com or call toll-free to secure your copy of the Obama Deception, which is 110 minutes long with 20 minutes of extras. That's the official runtime of the film. It is the preeminent documentary on what's currently happening right now and completely up to date. The ObamaDeception.net.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have wide open phones in this hour at 1-800-259-9231. We have a guest coming up dealing with the collapse of Mexico in the next hour. Let's go back to your calls right now. Again, I love all the different directions the callers take us. Very informative. George in Texas, you're on the air. Welcome, George.
Yeah, just to remind your listeners, today is Texas Independence Day.
Victory or death, my friend. Texas Independence Day. Anything else?
Yes. You know, I was sitting there reading about the Alamo, and I can tell you one thing. I was all inspired because even though they were outnumbered by the Mexican Army, they stood their ground, and even though they all died, they would not succeed. They would not bow to a dictator. And that's something that listeners should sink in their minds.
Absolutely. And, you know, they made that watered-down whitewash, kind of demonizing the folks at the Alamo a few years ago, and it was a dismal failure. No amount of media propaganda against those men that died is going to work. And we salute the defenders of the Alamo today. Thanks for reminding me.
Well, and also, too, is like my wife's descendants fought for Texas independence, and she's Hispanic. And I go down to the cemetery in West Columbia, and you see some Hispanic graves there fighting for Texas independence. So it's not a racial thing.
Well, the person that wrote the Texas Constitution and is known as the father of Texas was Hispanic, and 30-plus percent of the signers were Hispanic, and over 30% that fought in the war were Hispanic. Santa Anna was a dictator. They'd had a bunch of dictators before him, and they had kicked the imperial government of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, they were German royalty, basically, but it was a larger empire, out, Maximilian and others. And that's why Santa Anna came up here and was trying to kick people out that had paid for their land and, you know, paid for the grants, like my family on both sides. And so that's the truth of what happened. And again, the globalists love demonizing Texas, love making up all these lies about Texas, but it's just not going to work.
Well, God bless you, Alex. Keep up the good work.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you, George. Will in Pennsylvania, you're on the air, Will.
Alex.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, my friend?
Good.
Look, I just want to commend you for everything you do. I want to ask if you'd be generous with me as you can with time, and at the very least, ask me if there's anything else I'd like to add. I've been a subscriber and buyer of your material for 10 years.
Well, sir, we appreciate you. We've got to be fair to everybody else, Will, but you're on the air right now.
I believe your intentions are nothing short of philanthropic, Alex. First of all, I've never been a big promoter of myself. If I had, I'd be a millionaire by now. Just Google me, Payday Monsanto, Monsanto Must Pay. You'll get my MySpace, on which is a blog directing you to my album, Lambs to the Slaughter, 25 tracks, $10.
Hey, excuse me. I think I've... You have a My... You called before promoting your album, haven't you?
I called promoting Slave Plantation, in which you've used a couple of lines. They own both all judges in the case, all fighters in the bout, all horses in the race.
Are you
the
same
most
guy...
powerful anti-hero.
Hold on just a minute. Haven't you been critical of me?
Somewhat, sir.
Listen,
somewhat.
I appreciate your call, okay? That is incredible. That guy has called other shows. I've actually heard him, and I don't listen to a lot of other talk radio, especially in this, quote, genre, because I'm so busy. And I've let that guy probably call in 30 times over the years and plug his stuff nicely. like I do everybody else. And then I've heard him calling in saying the most horrible things about me. And then he calls into the show saying how much he loves me and that he wants a bunch of time. Now, sir, if you called in saying you hated me on air, you would have been put at the front of the line and been given your time. But I just can't deal with that level of two-facedness. I remember one day he called in on Mark Kornke's show, and I was driving down the road here in Austin, and it was just an incredible attack and lies about me. And then he calls in here saying how much he supports me. Man, I tell you, sir, you got some real issues. And, you're done promoting your stuff here.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Continuing with wide open phones, we're going to go to Pierre in Mass. You're on the air, sir. Go ahead, Pierre.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I'd like to call in and, first of all, thank you for a show you did about 2 years ago where you talked about the Meals on Wheels and taking care of your grandparents and the older folk. After my mother passed away when I was 18, my father was considerably older than most other fathers of people my age. I stayed home and took care of them, and that show really hit a heart chord for me, and I really appreciate that because... up until last year when he passed away, I was there very often to take care of him and always worrying about him and looking out for him. And
well, everything today is about living for yourself, not taking care of your children right, warehousing old people, not visiting them, and you lose your humanity when you do that. And just like I talked about the military and slaughtering all these men, women, and children in Iraq and other places, losing our humanity, then... others will do that to us because they've lost their humanity too. When you're old or when you're sick or when you have a stroke or when you're in a car wreck, there's so many of these good old boys and people that don't care about their families or other people. All they care about is acting cool and partying. And then when they get paralyzed or they get hurt, nobody takes care of them. You reap what you sow. But when you take care of other people and when you are a humanitarian, you grow. That's when you blossom. That's when you become what you're really meant to be. So all these people that are totally selfish and only care about themselves, they are cheating themselves out of something wonderful.
Well, that's why I've taken up my personal fight, which is cancer and health issues. They both unfortunately passed away from cancer. I'm only 25. I'm a student up at UMass in Amherst, and I just see the rates going up. More people in the obituaries in the daily paper, younger and younger ages all the time. And what you said last week about not donating to these disease research foundations or the organ dysfunction foundation, whatever part of the body it is, put that money in something better. Put it in something that's going to actually help people.
Well, those groups, when you really study it at the top, they're eugenics organizations. And they're actually there to make sure real treatments don't actually get to the people. And because it's simple. By the year 1930, worldwide, eugenics was everything. Almost every major scientist, I'd say 95%, was a eugenicist. It was the accepted system. And the leadership of the planet, the robber barons, believed in it. And so they trained the next generation. And so running parallel along with our society are these killers that don't just not care about killing people. They think killing and maiming is a good thing, and they make money off of it, and they have all these compartmentalized individuals that work for them who don't realize the bigger program because it's so horrible. That's one leg up the enemy has on us, is that their program of control is so horrible that people have trouble just even being able to admit it to themselves.
Well, that's why you spoke about the Rockefellers taking over the major cancer research hospitals in the 20s and 30s, and I've read J. Edward Griffin's book, War Without Cancer, The Story of Vitamin B17, where he goes into the history and...
listing as a drug, so you can't get it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had to go through hoops and hurdles to get even the raw apricot seeds just to eat, and you have to make sure that they weren't passed through an x-ray machine during shipment and things like that, because that can affect the quality and everything. But you have a food component that's supposed to be in our diet. It's not in our diet anymore, and along with everything else you've spoken about, in my opinion, that's a great reason why it's gone up. I've just been so angry at the same time at these people who have co-opted, you know, the good doctors, the good scientists, and the nurses, and all those people who are, you know, on the trail of the actual root cause, and then they swoop in and say, nope, no more. We're going to have to put you under licenses, and you're going to go this way, which is drugs and allopathic means, which, you know, failed my parents, failed three of my grandparents, failed an aunt of mine, and countless other people out there that...
Well, they're also trying to put out a lot of spin right now that cancer's actually gone down. Every major form of cancer has exploded. If you really look at the news announcements, the treatment, you know, they claim a few percentage points better results with the treatment, but the overall numbers, I mean, I saw a report 2 years ago, just one, where women's lung cancer has gone up sevenfold, despite the fact that women's smoking has gone way down the last 30 years. It's just incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. Anything else, Sean?
That's basically it. I just want to say your sponsors are great. Midas Resources, Ted Anderson, his associate there, Mike, that I've dealt with over the past couple of years is great. Berkey Filters, I'm drinking the water right now. And Marty Schachter over at Cal Bend, great, great gentleman. My father and him are from the same generation.
Hey, have you bought gold a few years ago from Midas? I guess your investment's doubled in value?
Pretty close to that, yes.
Amazing. Hey, good to hear from you, my friend. Let's go ahead and talk to Steve in Chicago. Steve, go ahead.
Yes, Alex, two Chicago Sun-Times articles. One came out yesterday. It's entitled, Farrakhan Followers Must Continue Obama Energy. Farrakhan admits that he laid low the laughing hyena to deceive the white people. It was a big rally that they had at Rosemont. Of course, Father Flager was there. And he was laughing and clapping, according to the Sun-Times article. The other one that really disturbed me, because I shop at this place, an overnight employee at the Walmart, this is also in the Chicago Sun-Times, a Walmart employee dies after setting himself on fire. He walked out of the store into the parking lot. He's on the overnight shift, it says there. He said he couldn't take it anymore. He doused himself with lighter fluid, set himself on fire. 10 people tried to help him. No, he didn't want help. He ended up a day later dying of his burns. I mean, exploitation of workers and capitalism. Thanks, Alex.
All right, I appreciate your call. You know, Louis Farrakhan, his real name's Calypso Louis. That's an interesting name, Calypso Louis. Saxophone player, pretty famous one in his own right there. Very complex person. You know, he has carried a lot of patriot books about the New World Order. He has covered the New World Order. He covers a lot of important issues. But especially if you go back to his speeches, you know, 10, 20 years ago, they are very racist. I mean, you could take what he's saying and superimpose it over, you know, what white supremacists would be saying. I will say this. We have a lot of Nation of Islam listeners of this show, and they've contacted me, they've called me, they've walked me on the street, and they've said, look, we know Barack Obama's a shill and a front man and works for the New World Order, and we don't know why Louis Farrakhan is supporting him. Well, Louis Farrakhan's a politician more than anything, and he runs a very powerful group, and he knows that that's where the hype is, that's where everything's going, so he's gone along with it. Just like Pat Robertson, the leader, probably the number one leader of Protestants in the world, with James Dobson, who just retired last Friday. But you don't see James Dobson saying socialism's good, we should accept it and do whatever Obama says. You do see that happening with Pat Robertson. And so when you see all these powerful people getting behind something in the establishment, you've got to really, really worry about that. Let's go ahead and talk to Nate in Maine. Nate, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex.
Hello.
I have a question. Are you aware of this film going around the internet called The Fourth World War?
No, I'm not.
It's a seemingly anti-globalist film, and it exposes a lot about NAFTA and GATT, and it talks about the things that happened in Argentina in 2002. And I was looking at the end credits earlier today, and I realized it was funded by the Rockefeller and Jerome Foundations. Is there anything you can tell me about those two foundations?
Well, I know that the Rockefeller Foundation is the most wicked foundation out there. The Jerome Foundation I've heard of. I know it's a globalist organization. Don't know that much about it, but I'll have to watch it. But what we have happening with the globalist is an attempt through Glenn Beck and a lot of other people to co-opt the Liberty or Patriot movement to get people trusting their groups and their leaders so they can then do a 180 later. They know this information right now is just rising and exploding and gaining huge understanding and awakening. But I really can't comment on a film I haven't seen. What's it called again? The Fourth World War?
Fourth World War. It's right on YouTube and Google.
But what's their solution? A global government at the end to save us from the Fourth World War?
It does talk about one world, and towards the end, it kind of makes you want to get out and be violent. I think they're trying to incite violence with this film.
I'll have Kurt and Nemo or Paul Watson watch it and do a report. I'm too busy with a bunch of stuff right now. Literally every hour is just packed with work. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's their main goal with this film is to make people violent because it really hypes the street violence and going after the cops and it shows people firebombing in
riots.
Are
you sure that they don't just link to things for people to look at? Or are you sure it says it was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation?
Yeah, right at the end credits.
Does it say Rockefeller Foundation or does it say Rockefeller Brothers Foundation?
No, just Rockefeller Foundation.
That's really horrible news. Thanks for the call. I do know they're having people like Zbigniew Brzezinski and others come out on MSNBC. In fact, John, I keep meaning to play that. I gave you that like 2 weeks ago. Do you have the... Get that ready and also get that other clip ready with Soros admitting that they've lowered the oil prices to bankrupt the nations, the oil-producing nations all over the world, to intensify the depression. So I want to play those. Let me write a note now or I'll forget. Brzezinski and Soros. Don't let me forget that. I'll talk about this when we get back because it's so important. It's vital to what the establishment is doing and how we counter them. I mean, it's the same thing you see with Zeitgeist. They tell you, yes, there's a horrible tyranny. Yes, the banks are corrupt. Yes, all these bad things are happening. The answer is a violent revolution, and then there'll be a one-world government that comes after that. That's their plan. They're trying to be on both sides of the fence, just like they fund both sides in any war. We'll explain it when we get back. There have been some big developments during the last few breaks on other National Guard mock gun confiscation drills going on around the country. In Virginia and other areas, West Virginia. I am vetting these reports right now, but it's just like the Arcadia, Iowa, where they're going to lock the town down and go door-to-door asking if they can search for illegal guns. And then they call it a drill, getting the police, the military, everybody acclimated for this. But we are vetting some new big developments. I mean, they do these drills all the time. It's in the news all the time. That's what goes on during the drills. It's just it deals specifically with firearms confiscation now. So we'll be tracking that and going over that. I'm going to come back and take calls in the next segment. But right now, I wanted to comment on what the caller was saying dealing with the way the media and prime ministers and presidents and all of the world keep saying, there's going to be riots. There's going to be horrible riots. They're going to take over governments. They're going to destroy everything. And in Iceland, the government's fallen. Several Eastern European nations have fallen in the last month. And you have peaceful people coming out, protesting, demonstrating, demanding the government resign. That's been happening. But we've caught the establishment in Italy, in the United States, in Canada, in Russia, many other nations, where the police will dress up like demonstrators, attack other police, so the police have a pretext. That's a false flag attack. It's a staged event to be able to go after the peaceful crowds and arrest them and fire rubber bullets at them and the rest of it. Well, now we have all these world leaders saying they're going to be violent, saying they're going to be bad, saying that the government's got to do something about it ahead of time, really to try to put the idea in people's minds to do this, because then they can put the military on the streets to stop the riots, and it will look legitimate and then set the precedent of being under military occupation. And that's what the IMF and World Bank documents that were leaked out of the World Bank in late 2001, 2002 stated. They call it in their own documents the IMF riot, where they destroy the economy. After a few months or longer, things implode. Then the people start rioting, the government provocateurs rioting. Then all confidence is lost, and even healthy companies go under. Then the banks can come in, tell the government, okay, we're going to bail you out, but we basically own you now in the future. And they bail the country out with more fiat currency. So this is a program. This is a stated operation. But here's a story today out of the Daily Express out of England. MI5, that's their internal spy force, MI5 alerted on bank riots. Top secret contingency plans have been drawn up to counter the threat posed by a summer of discontent, a summer of rage in Britain. The double whamming of the worst economic crisis in living memory and a motley crew of political extremists, it's their fault, determined to stir up civil disorder, has led to the extraordinary step of the army being put on standby. See, the drug war causes Mexico to collapse. Now we've got to be under martial law. Oh, now the bankers caused the collapse, but it's the extremists' fault. It's the protesters' fault. So MI5 is so upset that they're having to get ready for military rule in England. Oh, they're so upset. You know, militaries just hate setting up dictatorships. They just do it constantly all over the world. They just hate getting all this power. It's so terrible. So they can loot even more for the banker masters. MI5 and special brands are targeting activists they fear could inflame anger over job losses and payouts to failed bankers. And over again, in my film Police State 2 The Takeover, we show the Seattle riots. We have 60,000 peaceful demonstrators protesting the IMF and World Bank, the World Trade Organization. So on record, this is in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, Seattle Times. We have police on tape admitting it. They hire, the army hires, and big foundations pay for and fly in from Oregon anarchists that were trained at a big Ford Foundation compound. Then the anarchists are housed in a government building protected by police. They're brought out to attack police. That's put on national news. Then that goes on for a day. The police say, hey, we're not allowed to defend ourselves. It's terrible. The news media points out the police are standing down as bottles and rocks hit them. Then the anarchists pull back, move into the government building under protection, being protected by the government. And what happens next? They attack the peaceful 60,000 people. There's video of police stomping old ladies, breaking their collarbones, going into neighborhoods, attacking everybody. It is just powerful. So see, that's how this works. They want the riots, and they will make them violent. They want cities to burn like the LA riots, so they can bring in control. One of the most notorious anarchist websites, Class War, asks, how to keep warm during the credit crunch? Burn a banker. You know, the bankers will be out of your country. They're running things. And I would bet my bottom dollar that that group isn't just infiltrated, that it's run, just like the IRA, by British intelligence. We'll come back, finish up with this, and take your phone calls. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103.
103.
103 is forever when you're just a little kid.
So,
Cyrus Jones lived forever.
Grave digger.
Grave digger. When you dig my grave, would you make it shallow?
Willie Nelson, we love you.
So I can feel the rain.
Grave digger.
Grave digger. Mural Stonewall, 1903 to 1954. She lost both of her babies in the Second Great War.
Yeah, what the establishment doesn't like is the image of good-looking families with their children with baby carriages out there protesting the globalists and the banks. And so always, the aircraft land, fully paid for by foundations. The anarchists pile off. I'm not saying all the anarchists, but it's on record that certain key groups of them dress like clowns, and they'll always go do silly things for the news cameras, say they're doing rituals, you know, and things like that. And the news will only give them attention. Yeah, the little, weird little rituals and things, saying they're levitating mints or whatever, in the case of Denver. And then all of that discredits. And there's other government-controlled groups that then carry out violence. And in that way, they can demonize the legitimate protesters. And so, yes, in the United States, in England, it's on record. They're preparing for martial law, Army War College, MI5, both countries. It's admitted. Canada is ready. It's all been set up. It's been set up to sell the population on getting ready for martial law. And as people lose their homes, as there's more homeless people, as there's more crime, well, hey, the police are just pulling you over at this checkpoint to make sure you're not a criminal or don't have any weapons. And we're being inducted into slavery. And the police are being brainwashed and conditioned and you know, given all of these excuses to go along with this. In fact, let's go ahead and play from MSNBC so we can break it down. This clip of Zbigniew Brzezinski about 2 weeks ago, I never got to playing it, where he's talking about, oh, I'm so angry at what the banks have done. Oh, I'm so angry at what the elites have done. I'm afraid there's going to be revolution. And then Glenn Beck says the same thing. What about the Bubba effect and their guns? And the CIA is like, we're ready for that to happen. Let it happen. This is all part of things collapsing. Meanwhile, now they're putting Ron Paul on the news. Meanwhile, they're making it all very mainstream so that the mainstream media can keep a little bit of its credibility and pose like they're with the people and that they're not with the elite. And then, oh, goodness gracious, look what happened with the riots. Oh, look what happened. We had to confiscate the guns. You know, society broke down. So it's very, very troubling. But we're aware of this. You know, now every time the police attack police, we catch them. In Canada last year, in Denver last year, they're getting caught all over Europe. It's now mainstream news. And every major activist group in England that does engage in violence and does call for violence, the reason you know they're feds is because time and time again it's come out that they are working for the British government or the Australian government or the Canadian government or the German government. I remember, it's in several of my films, what the Masters of Terror has a bunch of articles in it, mainstreamed or Spiegel, Reuters, you know, German news, that every major white supremacist group that go out and firebomb Turks and others, it turns out, aren't just infiltrated by German intelligence, they are run by German intelligence. And then notice they don't get in trouble. That's always the telltale sign. I mean, if you're not a Fed and you get on the radio or you go on a website and you say, let's kill these cops, a grand jury indicts you and the police come and arrest you. Okay? But if you are a Fed, you can just do this with impunity. And their favorite thing to do is to find street kids in Miami or young, you know, 15 to 20-year-old in a group of Muslim youth in Toronto last year, I guess now 2 years ago. And it later comes out that the Feds, the Mounties in that case, or the FBI in the case of Miami, go find a group of profiled welfare street kids. They give them hundreds of thousands of dollars. They give them a warehouse, apartments. They weren't even Muslims with the group of black street kids in Miami. And it took them a year and a half to just get them. Every time they'd say, okay, 50,000 more if you'll just say you're no longer Rasta Christians, if you'll say you're Muslims and wear these military uniforms. 100,000 more for the 10 of you if you will go videotape with this video camera the federal building in Miami. They had a case last year, what was it, in Ohio, of Muslim extremists that were going to attack U.S. military bases. And then it came out later that the informant was a CIA/FBI operative and that he went and found the group, created the group, and was leading the group. There was a bum steer award in 1998 it's in police state to the takeover. That's a big insult in Texas. Number one prize. They give out, I think, 20 bum steer awards. And they gave the FBI a bum steer award for creating a Klan group out of two different trailers, two husband and wives, who literally were such alcoholics on welfare they couldn't even get out of bed most of the time. And they would talk about, we're going to take over the White House and be kings. We're going to blow up this chemical plant. We're going to lead a revolution. We're going to blow up airplanes. Just all this, you know, like little kids talking about, I'm Superman and I'm going to jump over buildings with a single bound. Remember last year, the white supremacist in Tennessee, what, 17 and 18-year-old, with the machine guns and shaved heads on MySpace, and they were going to wear white tuxedos with white top hats, and they were going to drive down the street and kill all the FBI and Secret Service and get Obama, and they were going to then go to the White House. And it's always the same mindset. They find mentally ill, unstable people, and they set them up. And it's the same story in England, where it turned out that every major IRA subgroup wasn't just infiltrated. They were founded and commanded. You know, in one cell, the three leaders of it would actually kneecap, shoot members in the knee, who wouldn't go out and commit bombings. So you've got MI5, MI6, SAS commandos kneecapping members of the Irish Republican Army if they won't go out and stage terror attacks in England and Ireland. That is mainstream British news. And when it started coming out 4 years ago, they put D notices out in England. They have an order where any website, any news story, any TV station or network is told D notice, and they can't report on it. And they can't even report they were given a D notice, but it always leaks out. They declared national security. Look at the Bernard Madoff case in Congress with the Securities and Exchange Commission. They said, why did you, when you were warned for 9 years he was doing this, why did you stand down? And they declared National Security Act, and they declared presidential power not to answer. It's a government operation. He was just a front man. So this is done over and over and over and over again. So many times I'll have a film screening at a movie theater, or I'll be at an event and I'll be in the hotel restaurant eating, and somebody will walk up to me at the bar where I'm eating and say, hey, Alex, big fan. It's always the same. I'll have two or three listeners around me going, hey, Alex, yeah, this and that. I'm sitting there eating a hamburger. And somebody will kind of come up to the group like they're with you and go, yeah, yeah, I love that on your show. Hey, you want to tax some police around here? You want to, I've got weapons. Do you want weapons? Hey, do you want weapons? It happened when we were in Denver. I was approached several times. People said, hey, you want to carry a gun just for security while you're here? You want some guns? I got some guns right here. You want to carry some guns on the streets? And I was like, whoa. Always feds. Always feds. In Bilderberg Group, on the street, at the hotel, not even the hotel Bilderberg was at, the hotel we were staying at, you know, these guys will come into your group, come into your crowd, two different ones did it, and they'll go, hey, yeah, like you and Ron Paul, really like it. And it's always a 6'3", big former military guy, an exact archetype, and you're going, come on. And they're like, man, we really and truly just, I want to go take over the State Department. Come on, Alex, you want to go take over and attack the State Department with me right now? How's that sound? Come on, let's do it, let's do it. I'm like, man, you're a fed, man. Or I'll sit there and go, oh, give me a video camera, start videotaping them, they run off. Oh, I something came up, I got to go. This is real, ladies and gentlemen. They are there. They are doing this. The New World Order is real. I mean, the state police with federal funding, basically federalized, all over the U.S. infiltrate right-to-life groups. They infiltrate anti-death penalty groups. They infiltrate in New York and Connecticut and Vermont and Texas, it's come out, bike right groups that want bicycle lanes. They infiltrate anti-war groups. They have the Pentagon infiltrating these groups, and it comes out. Totally illegal. And, you know, it's one thing if they're going to infiltrate some peace group that's totally peaceful, like Michael Moore covers in Fahrenheit 9/11, you know, that's baking cookies, a bunch of Star Trek nerds, basically. But then they always want them to do violence, you see. Infiltrating's bad enough with the military or state police, but to then always have them... And, folks, I was trying to build a veteran in 1998, Joe Campana, he's since died, a World War II vet. They were trying to bulldoze his house. We wanted to fix it. They said they'd arrest us if we fixed it. We said, fine, we'll build him a new house. Record, 14 days, totally built, furnished home. And thanks to volunteers who just, we had the materials brought to the site and contractors built it and volunteers put it together. And I had cops in plain clothes come on the property twice and say, let's kill cops. Let's go after city council people. This is wrong. What's happening? And you'd follow them out and it'd be an unmarked car. And you're like, you are so evil. Now, they have the big military type guys. That's what you see 90% of the time. The rest of the time, you'll see them with like a little beanie cap with the fake artist, you know, curly hair and a mustache. It's always the same type, you know, kind of their hippie outfit. And when I was at Bilderberg in 2006, after they'd already detained us, said we were going to jail and all this, it got out in the media, so they had to release us after 15 hours of being interrogated. I show up at Bilderberg, and they're huge FBI type, Royal Mounted Police type, 6'4", clean cut, 36 years old. You know, I'm like, oh, here comes the Royal Mounted Police. I didn't say that. And he was like, so what are you planning, Alex? What you doing? You planning to infiltrate? Plan anything violent? I said, come on, man. I go, I know who you are and what you're doing. We're just here to cover this event. Don't you think it's important world leaders are meeting here in secret? And you're like, oh, just, and they'll come right out of character in just a minute. You know, not say I'm a fed. They'll go, well, I'm just checking, man. You know, it's my job. You know, and you're just like, come on. Come on. And then one guy, even the police aren't as uptight, I guess, in Canada. There was these woods across the street with these geese and stuff, a pond. And the police would go urinate when they didn't want to have to go in the hotel and go through security. The Royal Mounted, regular Ottawa police in their cars, they would go urinate behind the bushes across the street. And I was even over there once, you know, with them at the same time. And that the feds even run over and start pointing out when I'm over there to other cops, and the cops just wave their hands. You know, so like, look, he's peeing over there. He's peeing behind those bushes. Get him! Get him! Because the hotel's out there in the middle of nowhere. Just a few defense contractor buildings around there. With geese stomping around the parking lot, honking at us, and you know, like guard dogs. But then, you know, you'll see all these other feds walking around going, let's blow things up! I want a neutron bomb! I want to blow them up with a bomb! And then you see the other feds just watching to see what we'll say. And I'm like, come on, man, stop it. Get out of here. And they turn and go, I'm just so mad. I just want to kill all of them. If that guy wasn't a fed, he'd be arrested right there on the spot. This is dangerous, folks. We have people trying to set us up every single day. That's why I pay all the taxes, follow every law, don't even speed, do everything the best I can. Because if they're going to set me up, it's going to be a complete setup. Take Tommy Chong. He sold water pipes. His son did, using his name. They tried three times to get employees hired there. There's a few cities in the U.S. where they're illegal to mail those to those cities. Then it becomes a federal offense, even though it's city law, some interstate commerce thing. They would catch these feds, you know, many states away in California trying to ship to other towns in the U.S., and they'd fire them. Well, finally, one of the feds went in, mailed the water pipe to the town, everything against orders, and they went and arrested Tommy Chong, and he spent several years in prison for it. And they admitted in court, yeah, we shut him up, we came in and mailed. I mean, the feds, folks, under their corrupt laws, could come in my office and mail out whatever they wanted, and, you know, hand grenades, whatever, and say I did it. And we need to have on record that we're nonviolent, we don't have any illegal weapons, we're not doing anything here. But I know the way they'll come at me. I know the type of stuff they'll do. Because we have a completely clean nose here. But this is what we're dealing with. This is what we face. This is what we go through to bring you the films, the radio show, the websites, the information we bring forward on this show. Let's talk to Clay in Texas. Clay, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how's it going, man?
Good, sir.
Hey, I wanted to make a point about freedom and how, you know, one of the key elements of freedom is, you know, being able to live without fear. And I grew up in Central Texas, probably not far from where you are now, and it's a little town called Hutto, and I hadn't been there in a couple of years. And I was driving through there, and it's changed so much, but one thing that I noticed is that there's all these billboards of missing American girls. And I just wonder, I mean, like, at what point do we say, hey, federal government, y'all really are failing us here in the state of Texas?
Yeah, they do that. Signs of this terrorist, signs of this wanted felon, signs of this kidnapped person. So it's and half the billboards in Texas and other areas of the country I travel to are now tattletale billboards, government loves you billboards, spy billboards. We are living in an Orwellian state. It is so obvious. And you know, they don't tell all these women getting kidnapped and flown off to third world countries to be raped and killed, and that's where a lot of them are going. They don't tell them buy a gun. They don't tell them defend yourselves. They don't tell them get a taser or get some pepper spray. They don't. They don't want our women defending themselves. And they also want to create the illusion that kidnapping is up in this country when it's actually way down, unless you're in one of the cities where people are being kidnapped and taken to Mexico. And in the case of several South Texas towns, they've had hundreds of women come up missing, and they are found with their hearts cut out. You can Google this, mainstream news, satanic ritual murders. Anything else, sir?
No, man, that's all. Just keep up the fire, sir.
Folks, I'm not kidding. Google satanic ritual murders, Texas border. A few years ago in El Paso, they dug up over 200 women with their hearts chopped out, but that's way down in the article. It's kind of like, oh, by the way, their hearts were chopped out. We've got a guest coming on, an expert on what's happening in Mexico. Get his perspective. We'll continue with your phone calls. For everybody who's patiently holding. I've also got a bunch of video clips I want to play and analyze coming up in the fourth hour today. And I just have stacks of news. Like this in front of me, Supreme Court won't review Agent Orange lawsuits. They admit the government knowingly knew it would kill many people that were exposed to it with cancer and birth defects. Reuters, they don't care. Obama names, of course, a Bilderberg Group member as the head of the health operations. Details about Marine One leaked on peer-to-peer. Now they've got to shut down the internet because somebody got the specs for Marine One that the president flies around in over that evil internet. Just all made up bull. So we'll break that down as well. Before I get to a few more of these stories here, I do want to thank some of our sponsors like eFoods Direct. And I just hope that people will check out their website, eFoodsDirect.com, because you'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. This is the storable food company that I get my food from, the highest quality non-GMO grown right here in the United States, except for the bananas. And those are organic, non-GMO, just super high quality, fabulous prices, quick delivery time. Give them a call. Ask for a free brochure, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com. Another sponsor that makes this show possible is MySolarBackup.com. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power, hurricanes, snow, ice, and storms. Listeners should get moving towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do just that. A solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor, Solutions from Science. It's designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage. You get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the Power Source 1800 power plant and a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in blackouts, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity. Having a solar generator is like having a silent power plant hidden in your home. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubled times. The website is mysolarbackup.com, mysolarbackup.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. And lastly, with the plugs here, the Obama Deception is now on sale. You can go to theobamadeception.net or obamadeception.net with no the on the front, or infowars.com. Link through the secure online video and bookstore shopping cart. We got a lot of new anti-New World Order t-shirts, which are great to strike up conversations and meet like-minded people for sale on the site. A lot of other books and videos by other great authors, all my films, and of course you can pre-order right now The Obama Deception if you'd like at InfoWars.com. Okay, we're going to get into Mexico when we come back after this break. We're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv. I would tell John just to go ahead now and get our guest on the show, because we're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv here in about 2 minutes. Mexico's struggle with drugs and thugs. And we'll be talking with Professor George W. Grayson, a member of the Government Department faculty for 38 years, has earned his B.A. at the University of Northern California. And he's written 20 books and monographs on international affairs, 125 research trips to Latin America, and lectures regularly at the U.S. Department of State. He writes a regularly column, Molino Semanal, a weekly magazine in Mexico. He is a senior associate at the Center for Strategic International Studies in Washington, D.C., and associate scholar of the Foreign Policy Research Institute in Philadelphia. Grayson is the class of 38 professor of government. So we're going to come back and for about 30 minutes or so, maybe longer, get into what's happening, again, from his perspective, with the collapse into civil war of our neighbor to the south of 100 million people.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, simulcasting the last 2 hours, the second half of the syndicated radio transmission at PrisonPlanet.tv, streaming live. We also archive it for PrisonPlanet.tv members as well. It is the second day of March 2009. Coming up later in the show, we are going to get into the fact that the Dow went below 7,000 today, and what's happening with the economy worldwide as Eastern Europe begins collapsing financially. Several governments over there have fallen. I also want to get into designer baby fight over U.S. clinic, where you can choose blonde hair, blue eyes, brown hair, brown eyes. This has a lot of serious ramifications, and we're going to be going over that. But for the next 30 minutes or so, maybe longer, we are joined by Professor George Grayson. And before we went to break, I went over his bio, written more than 20 books and other publications on international affairs, made 125 research trips to Latin America, publishes a weekly special report on what's happening in Mexico alone. And we really appreciate Professor George W. Grayson, a member of the Government Department faculty for 38 years, joining us at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Professor, it's good to have you on with us.
Very nice to be with you.
Let's go ahead and start. This is a short segment, but go ahead and break down from your great expertise, one of the most informed people out there, on what's really happening in Mexico. Are they in civil war, going towards civil war? Is it collapsing? Will it collapse?
Mexico is not a failed state. That is, people go to work every morning, the subways run, the taxis pick up fares, and so forth. What is happening is that there are enclaves of violence where you have dual sovereignty. That is, on the one hand, the elected officials have a piece of the action, but they're often outmaneuvered and outgunned by the cartels. And you see this in cities like Juarez, which is just across the border from El Paso. You see it in Tijuana, just across the border from San Diego. And in areas in states like Guerrero and Michoacan, where the government simply has lost control over its own territory.
And I see a lot of reports that all, especially on the border, but all over Mexico, that there's sub-taxing systems where the gangs and criminals demand taxes from businesses and teachers and even government people.
That's right. And they don't just send you a notice if your tax is overdue. They shoot you. They're not confining this to public entities, although some mayors are having to pay taxes to make certain that the citizens in their municipalities are not victimized. But surgeons are a target, veterinarians, teachers, even street vendors have to pay their Danegeld, their dues to the cartels, or risk being executed. And as you've read, the executions are occurring in an increasingly ghastly fashion, with castrations and decapitations and shoving people in vats of lye.
Wow. We're going to break in just a moment, and I've already written quite a list of notes here. They have the separate taxes. It's totally lawless. The massive kidnapping and torture and what I would call real terrorism. Again, he's with the College of William and Mary, into the University of North Carolina, and John Hopkins University, and also Marshall Wythe School of Law. Professor Grayson focuses on Latin American politics with a particular interest in Mexico. We're going to come right back to him after this quick 3-minute break. Please stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Professor George W. Grayson is our guest. Let me throw this question out at you. Homeland Security has said in Texas, both state and federal, I've had a state senator and a state rep on in the last week on the subject. Quietly, they say the National Guard is on one of its highest alerts, preparing to even have to shut down the border if they have to, that they believe there is a chance. They won't say on air. They say that's classified, but they say they know the percentage, they claim. But they say a good chance Mexico may completely collapse. From deeply studying this, Professor, do you think that's accurate?
No, Mexico's not going to collapse. And a major reason is that the Mexican military is by far the strongest force in the country, and it's completely loyal to President Felipe Calderon. But you are going to see areas where people flee the country, and Ciudad Juarez is a case in point, as is Nogales, Tijuana. Most of the border cities, the twin cities, are under a great deal of pressure. Now, Alex, we can look on the bright side because the Mexican economy is suffering even worse than ours. But there's one industry that's thriving along the border, and that's the funeral industry. Uh-huh. And the current crop of morticians can't take care of all the bodies. And so funeral directors from other parts of the country are opening up branches. And in order to get a piece of the market, they have specials going. For example, if your loved one is decapitated and you've got the body, but you can't find the head, these newcomers will put the body on ice until you can find the head and not charge you extra, and will do a great cosmetic job of making your loved one look as if he were still with you. So there is good news, Alex.
Wow, boy, then don't tell me the bad news. I see different numbers in the press, kind of like the press says there's 14 million illegal aliens. Next, they say there's 30 million in the U.S. I see numbers of 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 Mexicans that died last year in violence, and thousands already this year. What's, from your research, what's the closest number to how many people really died last year?
Well, we have pretty good numbers on that, and while we're talking, I'll pull up the exact number, but it's just over 6,000. And I think both the newspapers that are credible and also the authorities agree on that number. It looks like it's going to be larger this year, given the rapid start in executions we've had during the months of January and February. As far as the illegal immigrants go, it's anybody's guess. I would say 12,000-14,000 is probably a low figure. And we're going to see more pressure on the border, even though they're not jobs in the U.S. What we can appreciate is if you've got the choice of living in a country where there are no jobs, but the rule of law has broken down, or trying to get into a country where there are no jobs, but we still have the rule of law, you really don't have to be a rocket scientist to make that choice. And therefore, there's continuing pressure on people trying to get into the United States. By the way, I've just pulled up a number here, which I think is accurate. 5,207 executions in 2008. 5,207. And so far this year, in the first 2 months, there's been 1,034.
Wow. So a massive increase. What is that, like a...
Well, if we multiply that by six, it's going to certainly be 1,000 or so more this year. But we've got elections in Mexico on the 5th of July, and I suspect that the political authorities are going to try to dampen down the violence surrounding those around that election period.
Okay, I have a million questions for you, sir.
Sure, pardon my rambling.
Oh, no, you're not rambling. Believe me, this is all so important. And excuse me for interrupting, and I want you to be able to finish the point I just interrupted. You've really studied Mexico when we were searching out academics. I mean, you're one of the top academics from what we've researched, you know, really understanding the culture down there. A, why does this culture allow corruption? And the basic fact that mordido or kickbacks or beak dipping was allowed by the central government for so long, and the fact that corruption was seen as okay, is that how it's now just grown and blossomed and gotten so much worse? Or are there other factors that are causing things to get much worse?
Well, the ubiquitous poverty is a factor. The amount of red tape, it takes about 55 days to open even a small convenience store in Mexico City, and that's 55 pieces of paper that need at least 55 signatures, and you can see the opportunity for abuse there. It goes back to the colonial period when the viceroys would take the decrees from Madrid, and they would put them over there, roll them up and put them over their head, and they would say, obedesco pero no cumplo, which means I obey, but I'm not going to carry out the monarch's dictum because it would embarrass him or her. And so we've had a manipulative attitude toward law since the colonial period, if not before, and that's not going to change any time in our lifetimes.
Who was more corrupt, just a point of history, the Spanish government or when they had the Germanic government in there with Maximilian?
Well, Maximilian wasn't a bad guy. He was really a reformer, but it was such a blow to Mexican nationalism to have a Habsburg installed on the throne by Napoleon III that he, of course, was executed along with his wife, Carlota. But I think he probably ran a pretty tight ship, but the forces were much greater than he.
Okay, expanding on the point you were bringing up earlier about the elections coming up and the military attempting to dampen that down, in your words, please continue.
Well, the military is carrying the ball with regard to the so-called war on drugs, which I think is an unfortunate metaphor, because a war suggests that there's something you can win, and there's not going to be any victory against the drug cartels. You may be able to manage the violence more and manage the drug trade, but it's not going to be extinguished. But the military's role is not just in terms of their professional responsibilities, but many retired generals are now becoming the secretaries of public security or police chiefs in states and in large cities. And so we're seeing a militarization of law enforcement as well as the military playing its traditional role. That doesn't mean there's going to be a coup d'etat or that the military is going to take over, but the military is looked upon in Mexico much like Americans view public schools. And you know as well as I, if we can't solve a problem in society, we turn it over to the public schools, drugs, alcohol, teenage pregnancy, you name it. In Mexico, any problem that can't be solved by the civilians, they toss the ball to the military.
Well, that's what I've noticed. I go down to Mexico a few times a year. I won't be going back. And there's just troops everywhere, boarded up shops everywhere, even in the south, even in the, you know, supposedly nicer areas down in the Yucatan Peninsula. I've got reports here about killings in Cancun out of the Los Angeles Times. You know, now the State Department's saying it's dangerous down there. Colleges, as you know, but for the audience, are telling people, watch out if you go down there. How dangerous is it for the average American or Canadian to go down to Mexico right now?
Most of the civilians who get caught up in the violence just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. There's no targeting of civilians. There's certainly no targeting of foreigners. So I wouldn't have any, in fact, I'm going to Mexico next week, but I have no qualms about going to Mexico City. I love cities like Querétaro or Zacatecas. If you get into the resort areas, you're pretty well cocooned.
What about kidnapping, though? That is exploding, isn't it?
Yeah, all kinds of kidnapping is exploding. I mean, there's the genuine kidnapping where somebody is grabbed off the street. But also, Alex, you might be at your desk and you get a phone call and someone says, I'm holding your 15-year-old daughter who just left St. Ignatius Prep School. And if you want to see her back, a man's going to come by your office in 10 minutes and you better give him $1,000. Well, the person may not have your daughter, but you try to reach her on the cell phone. You can't. She's not at home. And so you're likely to pony up $1,000, because the danger is so widespread that you can't take chances.
And then the guy shows up and gets the money, but then your daughter shows up and really wasn't kidnapped.
That's right. That's right.
See, I would have... I can't imagine, like, do I pay or do I kill this person? How do I control myself? I just can't imagine being put in that position. Stay there, sir. We've got a break. There's so many other questions I've got for you. You know, where do you see this going? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better? Are there any solutions? All these stories I see in the Texas press about Satanism on the border, kidnapping, killing people in rituals. We are back live. He is a professor at the College of William and Mary, one of the leading experts on what's happening in Latin America and Mexico right now. His new book is on its way to being a bestseller, Mexico's Struggle with Drugs and Thugs. Just Google that and pull it up, or you can find it in bookstores everywhere. We appreciate the professor joining us today. Professor, you already said it's getting worse there. They're on track to have even more murders than last year. We're now seeing murders spill over to the U.S. I know in California and Arizona, New Mexico, a lot of city officials, police chiefs, mayors, fire chiefs live on the U.S. side now. Places that were hopping tourist traps are now dead. If it's getting worse, how much worse will it get? I mean, are you projecting it just gets worse and worse each year out until some point, or what's happening?
Yeah, it's going to continue to deteriorate as long as we are buying 80-85% of the drugs that are produced in or passed through Mexico. And while it's a political third rail for politicians, I think we're going to have to move toward decriminalizing the possession and the sale of small quantities of at least marijuana to begin with.
And that'll drive down the price, and it'll, I mean, look what happened. I'm glad you said this, because I had a state senator on who's a big Republican, and he was even having to admit that Mexico is having to look at this, because if there weren't fantastic profits, you wouldn't have all of this going on.
Sure, and prohibition is just an example of where we tried to outlaw something, and the result was that the crime spiraled, illegal activity mushroomed, and the consumption of alcohol rose.
Tripled, yeah.
And so I'm afraid because there's no good answer. But we have to at least think about the unthinkable, and I hope that more politicians will step forward and at least raise the issue for debate.
Well, I bought a little piece of property in the Austin Hill Country, like 4 acres, and we found on that the laudanum bottles from, you know, 80, 90 years ago. I mean, every drugstore had cocaine, opium, everything. You know, any old farmhouse you find out, you know, in the bushes, these bottles, or you dig and you find them. A lot of Americans used it, but I've seen the numbers. It was around a third of the people that are on opiates, you know, then. It was a third of the amount of people that we have now when these opiates are highly controlled.
Yeah. Well, Coca-Cola originally had coca in it.
That's right.
It was eventually taken out because of political issues. But yes, it was widespread around the turn of the century, and that was all lumped in with the prohibition movement.
Okay, so by getting worse, what is Mexico going to look like in 6 months, 12 months, a year and a half?
We're gonna see it in terms of more pressure at the border. And I think we need to move ahead and get that fence completed. That's no panacea, because probably, Alex, 40% of the illegal immigrants who come into the United States come in legally as students or as business people or as tourists, simply overstay their visas. And I think if you or I didn't pay our Visa card, in a month or two, Visa would find us, but the Department of Homeland Security has no records. And so let's hope that Governor Napolitano will try to close that loophole, because we are an open society. We want to stay that way, but it is intolerable that a third to 40% of legal visitors can overstay their term and become illegal aliens. I'm not politically correct. I don't use the term undocumented immigrant. That to me is like saying that a bank robber is an unauthorized withdrawal specialist.
You're funny. Oh, I tell you, there's so much to talk about. We've got 1 minute before we break. We're coming back in a long segment with you, final segment. What are some of the, I mean, I've asked my questions, sir. You're the expert on this. What are some of the key points that are coming up in the next segment?
Our government, cannot patronize the Mexicans. Mexico is an incredibly wealthy country. Oil, gas, gold, silver, beaches, historical artifacts. And we have got to encourage the Mexicans to mobilize their resources and provide a better life for their people.
Let's talk about your ideas from studying the culture and writing a weekly publication on the subject of how they can do that, because the corrupt want to keep everything to themselves, and so the people really never get a chance to get out of poverty. How do we change the kleptocracy that is Mexico? We are back live. We have Professor George Grayson, author of the new book, Mexico's Struggle with Drugs and Thugs. Excellent book, folks, if you want to understand what's happening down in Mexico. We've got to decriminalize drugs now, ladies and gentlemen, because it creates a giant criminal society. Crime went up several hundred percentage points across the United States during the 9 years of prohibition. Alcoholism spiked. Poisoning from alcohol spiked. That's why heroin and cocaine is filled with all these other poisons. All of it. And then there's all this money involved in it, so it's seen as stylish and cool and cutting edge and, you know, fancy cars and mansions, so people get into it. But if we decriminalize, the only problem is the major banks that have been laundering this money forever are going to collapse. Professor, you know, growing up in Texas, I've read all the Texas Monthly and Dallas Morning News articles about women being kidnapped from El Paso and Laredo, other places being taken over, being killed, being raped, all the women they've dug up dead in the desert, you know, hundreds and hundreds, just in one case in El Paso. What's your intel on that? What's happening there?
There is a they're targeting women in Juarez, and of course it's easy to pass from Juarez into El Paso to pick up your victims. The Mexican authorities claim to be pursuing all leads, but they've been monumentally unsuccessful in finding the culprits, and it doesn't appear to be linked to the narco violence, but a separate group of ghoulish killers, but I frankly don't know. Changing subjects briefly, we were talking about what Mexico can do.
Yes,
And the Barack Obama administration has no silver bullets. I hope they don't exacerbate the situation by trying to let more illegal workers into the United States or legalizing those who are here. However, to take one example, the teachers in Mexico belong to one of the most venal and corrupt and wealthy unions in the world. And the way you get your teaching job is by playing nice with the union. And this means that the middle class families, they will literally sell a kidney in order to get their kids into private schools. A country can't progress if it doesn't have first-rate health care and good education, and Mexico has neither. But the Calderon government is really, for political reasons, working with the head of the teachers' union, La Maestra, as she's called, when they should be doing trust busting, not just of the big corporations in Mexico, but of powerful labor unions that have colonized public education. They've colonized the petroleum sector. They've colonized the electricity industry. And that's something the Mexicans on their own can do. The second thing is they don't pay taxes in Mexico. Mexico collects, as a percentage of gross domestic product, about 11.8% of its GDP. That's on a par with Haiti, an absolutely failed state. It's a third of what we collect, and we collect too much. But they've got to start raising revenues. So
now that's the official. That's the official taxes, though. People pay all this mordido to police, corrupt officials, the corrupt unions, the thugs. Do you have any idea of what the real number of taxes through payoffs are?
Yeah, I think the official taxes are just the tip of the iceberg. Because, for example, if you want a career job, a tenured job in the public oil monopoly, you would pay about $40,000 for a professional position there. And that would ensure you a good income for the rest of your life and a princely retirement.
Well, let me tell you a story. I, about 3 years ago, took a five-day vacation with my family. I wanted to go, you know, show my wife the pyramids down there. We went down to Costa Maya, went to some of the pyramids, and they would stop the big tour bus with you know, Humvees and Jeeps with machine guns in the back, heavy machine guns, and the bus driver would get out and go pay them cash just to drive the, you know, 30 miles to the pyramid. And I hadn't seen that previously when I was in high school and college and, you know, going with my parents down there. So, I mean, we talk about corruption. It's right up at the top. We always hear about top government officials being caught on the payroll of different mafias, different cartels. So, I mean, we talk about, you know, the government fighting cartels. Isn't this really the government that controls the major cartels battling it out with non-licensed cartels? I've had a lot of former DEA agents and others tell me that a lot of the drug war we see is bigger cartels through the government fighting with those that are actually cowboys.
You know, I think that Felipe Calderon, whom I've known for some years, is a decent, respectable, well-intentioned person who is pure as Caesar's wife. But there are certainly some bad actors around him. And we talked about the elections coming up on July 5. It looks like the old PRI, the party that ran Mexico for, from 1929 until 2000, is going to return to power, first in taking over the Congress and then in all likelihood winning back the presidency in 2012. And the PRI is the party that's most closely tied to the criminal organizations.
So is this, is what you're getting at? The PRI is orchestrating all of this to make it collapse so they get back into power?
I don't know whether it's that Machiavellian, but the PRI was in power so long that many of their leaders developed working relations, shall we say, with the drug barons. And I haven't seen any attempt by the PRI to separate themselves from the bad guys. And Alex, I want to say I'm an optimist by nature. When I get an email from an ex-secretary of finance from Nigeria telling me that if I will send him a couple hundred dollars, he will send me $10 million, I always write him a check. I feel he's just like he's just down on his luck. But it's hard to be optimistic when you look at Mexico.
So in the long run, what do you see happening to Mexico?
That conditions continue to deteriorate. Unemployment grows. And there is a massive crush to leave the country. Some will go to Europe, some to Canada, some to Australia, but the overwhelming majority will try to get into the United States, and that's going to mean that we don't just put walls at the border, but we're going to have National Guard, if not regular troops there. Mexico poses a much greater threat to us than, say, Pakistan or Afghanistan.
Clearly, past administrations, since Bill Clinton, you know, George Bush and now Obama, admittedly are allowing Mexico to use the United States as a steam valve. Way over 30 million illegal aliens that come back and forth. Then upwards of 40%, I've seen in the news, of the money they send back ends up, you know, being paid in secret taxes. So that's, you know, the U.S. funding this corruption as well. And it looks like the establishment's going to attempt, with this contiguous security prosperity partnership border, from what I've seen in the SPP, North American Union integration documents that Judicial Watch sued and got about 2 years ago. What I see happening is that, and they're talking about it, is somehow the U.S. invading, backing up the Mexican military. They're somehow then legalizing tens of millions more workers. I mean, I don't see that working. I mean, I think we need to shut that border down right now.
Yeah, and pushback is coming. As we know, the politicians in Washington live in their own world. But where you find resistance to the porosity of the border is in state legislatures. And you see it in Texas, you see it in Arizona, you see it in Arkansas, you see it in Tennessee, you see it all throughout the South and the Southwest, where hundreds of bills are being introduced to curtail the benefits given to illegal immigrants. And as our unemployment rate approaches 10% in this country, I think that some of the candy-ass liberals in Washington are even going to, excuse my language, are even going to rethink their positions because they are out of touch with their constituents. And Alex, I have to tell you, I'm a yellow dog Democrat. I'm a Roosevelt Truman Democrat. But I can't believe that we are shortchanging legal residents of the United States who have serious problems, who've lost their jobs, who've lost their homes, and are contemplating opening the border to those who have are trying to enter illegally, or giving citizenship to those who've broken the law to get into this country.
Well, Professor Grayson, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is just reality. I've studied many nations on the planet, you know, you study this, you know, professionally, but I can't think of many other nations except for maybe some Central African or West African, Eastern African nations that are as bad as Mexico and on the verge of just disintegration as Mexico is. I mean, it's one of the most... Well, it's so wealthy, triple the natural resources we have, but also so corrupt. And I can't think of having a more vile, nasty neighbor. I mean, could the U.S. border a more corrupt, out-of-control, dangerous nation with 100 million people set to, what, double in the next 30 years to 200 million people who get free health care, anchor babies, everything's going bankrupt here, tent cities sprouting up from Michigan to California to Florida, and the government is just going forward with more benefits. I mean, what is going to happen both on our side and in Mexico?
The population is going to probably stabilize in Mexico at about 115, 118 million, because Mexico, like ours, is an aging society. On a person-to-person basis, there are no nicer people in the world.
No, I know that. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree, but the system is so... I mean, I've been shut down by Mexican cops, so go ahead.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, if my car were to break down in an isolated area, the last vehicle I would want to approach me would be a police car, because you know you're going to get ripped off six ways to sundown. There's a growing Mexican middle class. A lot of the criticism that we make of the Mexican government is made in Mexico. I fear that with the PRI likely to come back to power, that conditions are going to deteriorate, and there's going to be more collusion between the organized crime that's in the private sector, mm-hmm. and the organized crime that's in the public sector in the form of politicians.
Okay, quantify Mexico getting worse for the foreseeable future. I mean, it's many experts are saying it's on the verge of collapse. You're saying, well, no, more of a slow rotting. What is it going to rot into?
There's going to be growing unemployment. More than a million newcomers enter the labor market each year. They can't find jobs, and moreover, Mexico's lost hundreds of thousands of jobs because of the economic crisis generated in the United States. The educational system is one of the worst in the relatively developed world. The healthcare system is spotty, to say the least, and there is a pervasive pessimism, which I've never encountered before, that is engulfing middle-class Mexicans. And I've had many of them say, if I could find a job in Norway, if I could find a job in England or the U.S., and they're talking about legal work now, I would take it in a heartbeat, even if it meant leaving my parents, my grandparents, and so forth. And one of the wonderful things about Mexico is that they are so family-oriented.
Oh, yeah, great people. I mean, you know, that's the paradox here, or the oxymoron, is they're great, hardworking, smart, great ingenuity, just some of the best artwork, just amazing people. But then the government's pure scum and filth. I mean, I just...
And that's what we're finding now in places like Michoacan, which is on the Pacific coast, has the country's largest port, is that in rural areas, the drug cartels are actually vetting the candidates for public office. And the cartels aren't so much concerned about Mexican deputies or senators who will serve in Mexico City. Their focus is on mayors and municipal officers.
That's smart. They know the real power is in the local area. I've also read and seen reports all over where they're stealing people's land, that they're pushing some of the small middle class off, too.
They may be doing some of that, but Mexico, several drug dealers have just been found to be beneficiaries of some farm subsidy programs.
Oh my gosh.
That the Mexican government operates.
Digressing, the acid baths, I'd read some about that. They're torturing people in acid or getting rid of the bodies in acid?
Oh, they have various ways. For example, in Michoacan, about a year and a half ago, they took five fellows who apparently had been flirting with a cartel member's girlfriend. And while they were alive, they sawed their heads off. Then the next night, they went to the place where the girlfriend worked and tossed the heads onto the dance floor just to sort of send a message that you don't mess with us. And the beheadings are becoming legion. You can't say in a joking fashion, well, let's not lose our head over this because it may have resonance in Mexico. And they're finding absolutely despicable ways to torture people. And they're going after some of these military officers who've taken up security functions in the cities. A general was hired about a week ago in Cancun. They broke all of his, he broke his arms and legs before pumping a bunch of bullets into his head just to say that no one is exempt from our violence.
I'll tell you what, Professor, we're going to break. Can we do five more minutes with you to the end of the hour?
Sure, that'll be fine.
I want to come back and talk more about, yeah, they're machine gunning the police and military, and in summation, what the breakdown will finally come to. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment with our guest. His book is Mexico's Struggle with Drugs and Thugs. Professor George Grayson of William & Mary. Professor, you know, you go through all these killings, the torture, the murder. Now Phoenix is the kidnapping capital of the United States. From what you say, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, and we have to fight with the federal government not to just totally, I guess, let all this murder and killing and car bombings in Dallas and rocket attacks on the Texas border. I guess it's just, and I've interviewed sheriffs where the Mexican troops come across the border when they get some of the drugs in a shipment and put guns to the sheriff's heads, and, you know, then I have state reps on, and they go, well, I don't know if that's true when it's in the newspapers on the border. I mean, you say it's just going to get worse. I mean, until what? Just total cult? I mean, what's going to happen?
I really think that the decriminalization has to be the longer-term answer. And earlier we talked about the parallels with prohibition. And, of course, ending prohibition wasn't a silver bullet, but it certainly reduced dramatically the Al Capone-type gun battles that went on over turf. And I think we're going to have to open our eyes to that. But at the same time, we're going to continue to see problems springing from Mexico in terms of the lack of opportunities there, driving unemployed Mexicans into the United States legally if they can, but most likely illegally. And I think we must stop patronizing Mexico, stop patting them on the head and say, our little brown friends, what can we do to help you? And emphasize that they do have incredible resources, which if they mobilized they could greatly improve the conditions for their people.
But the culture of corruption, how do they get around that?
Well, I've always said that if Mexico could lease its territory to, say, Taiwan or Singapore for 20 years, we'd be talking about the Colossus of the South, and we'd all be buying pole vaulting equipment to jump the wall to get into Mexico because of the incredible resources they have. But we play into the victimization line. And I try to read the New York Times every morning. Sometimes I lose my breakfast because it still believes we should be legalizing illegals amid the high unemployment in the United States. But I think it is going to depend on U.S. policymakers talking turkey with their Mexican counterparts and saying, we will cooperate, as we're doing with the Merida Initiative, but the onus is really on you to improve your public school systems, to collect more in taxes, to throw in jail those cops who are on the take. And
but then they attack the jail.
and regretfully, often the inmates run the prisons, and they've got the same problems with gangs inside the prisons. One way you get around that is you lease the jails out to private industries, and you pay professionals to run your jails.
Well, Professor, in closing, I want to thank you for joining us, but I get from everything you've said that it doesn't look like those proper things will be done, and so Mexico, I guess, is just going to turn into the literal pit of hell.
Well, conditions are certainly not going to get better anytime soon.
All right. The book is Mexico's Struggle with Drugs and Thugs, in bookstores everywhere. Any websites you'd like to fire out, Professor?
Well, the book is published by the Foreign Policy Association. And so if anybody wanted to go to the Foreign Policy Association, that's in New York.
All right. Thank you, sir. We're out of time. Thank you so much for the time. Just a program note, Jason Mermes will start his new weeknight three-hour show. It will be on the Genesis Star Guide, and you get the folks at GCNLive.com to post the satellite coordinates for the new satellite. I'm going to have a satellite on ABC Star Guide 24 hours a day, 21 hours a day of this show when it's live and then retransmitted for stations, and 3 hours a night with Jason Mermes. That will be 9 to midnight this evening, Central Standard Time. Mermes will be in studio with us with a stack of news in 30 minutes. Gordon Brown admitting there's a world government, world banking system, but they'll have a new world government banking system to save you from it. And he's on his way to the United States to pitch this to the public. So we will continue to break that down and cover it today. Right now, you've been holding a while. Let's take your phone calls. Let's talk to Don in Alabama, in Bama. You're on the air, Don.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
I would like to talk to about people's political affiliations today. You know, I've spoken up about Bush and his policies previously, and over the years, you know, we've all gotten used to it. But lately, I've gotten a lot of feedback from people. It seems like Republicans now are seeing that they have a chance to throw rocks at a Democratic president. But my point to them is that it isn't about political affiliation. It's something that is universal. It isn't that I'm a Democrat. I'm just trying to point out facts of things that are going on.
And it's about policies and what the policies are of the gang of crooks in Washington.
It has no regard to whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. You know, I sat there and I told them early on, as soon as I saw Brzezinski's name, I knew Obama would win the election. It was just a hands-down thing. People shake their head at me and, oh, you're an idiot. You know, but it came true. Of course it was. I've seen the name before. I know what's going to happen. But I try to get people to, if you want to sit there and talk about what's going on, stand with me. No, don't try to stand across from me like you're opposing me as a Republican. We're in it
together. It's mindless party partisanship where the Republicans will attack Obama now for carrying out the same policies of Bush. The Democrats will support Obama when he's carrying out the same policies of Bush. It is utter madness and childlike simplicity for people not to be able to see through the fact that both parties are bought and paid for by the same interest.
Well, you know, I can go back and point to them and say, well, you're part of the Democratic-Republican Party, because that's where it all started, and they split apart and went their own way.
The Republicrats, yeah.
Yeah, it's all the same thing from way back in the 1800s. They just split and went their different way. They're both paid-off groups. But I just like to encourage Republicans who want to call themselves that and Democrats who want to call themselves that to stand together and not try to belittle each other and belittle each other's efforts.
Oh, I agree. I appreciate your call, Don. There was this big Republican CPAC or whatever meeting Saturday, and Ron Paul spoke at it and was anti-war and got cheered. Well, you know, was anti-New World Order and got cheered, but then Limbaugh and all the rest of them went up there and acted like, you know, this whole corrupt system was just set up overnight by Obama, and acted like they're the good conservatives and they had a straw poll and Mitt Romney's their man. That guy's about as conservative as Mao Zedong. Again, then they'll in 4 to 8 years, they'll put a Republican in. Suddenly, Republicans will love everything Obama was doing because a Republican will be doing it. It is a mindless joke. Let's go ahead and talk to T in Canada. T, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, T.
Yes, how are you? Actually, my name is Dahogedode, but your guy couldn't pronounce it, but T's good. I wanted to know if you've seen this film by John Harris on YouTube called It's an Illusion. I think it's very important.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, you should get your guys on YouTube to search this John Harris, It's an Illusion. He shows how the whole New World Order works as a corporation. And
I've seen that. We posted it last week. That's the Free Man Society.
I don't know. I'm just looking at the Google. I favorited it on my tube site.
But it's a guy in England, right?
Yeah, it's like a regular working guy who figured it all out.
Well, yeah, we figured it out, too. We've been covering that for more than a decade.
Yes, you have.
I'm not saying, oh, we figured it out. We're smart. Oh, we. I'm just saying, yes, everybody's figuring it out. Stay there. You can talk more about it when we come back and take more calls as well. I'm Alex Jones. This is GCN Radio Network in association with InfoWars.com. And the PrisonPlanet.tv transmission. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, I got some video clips I want to play coming up to Ann Berman's in the studio, so we got to hurry here. T, finish up the points you wanted to make, sir.
It's really good how this guy, just a simple guy, working man, figures it all out and shows that the MPs are all traded in Dun & Bradstreet, listed as corporations. All of their courts are all listed as corporations.
Prisoners in jails are everything. It's a global crime syndicate through corporate maritime administrative law.
Correct. Anyways, and I also wanted to thank you. I always listen to your radio show. You have a great show and a great audience.
Well, thank you, T. We appreciate your call. Let's talk to Abdullah in Ohio. You're on the air.
How you doing? Hey,
good,
Alex,
sir.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen, I've been listening to you since May 2008. I think you got a great show, good message, and, you know, it's real difficult waking people up to what you're talking about. I was talking to people that I work with, and they just kind of accept being slaves, and it's ridiculous to me. I'm African-American, so it's really repulsive to me, but that's a whole different subject. I called because I told the guy that answered your phone that I was actually in the masjid, or the mosque, as you guys call it, in Toledo, where they sent the FBI agent in to infiltrate and basically make a case against people. The point you made is that they choose the crazy people, and they try to prop them up and make them into, you know, some kind of a criminal.
Yeah, for those who don't know, let me stop you, then I'll give you the floor.
Okay.
I talked an hour and a half ago about how we've had feds over and over again just show up at our events and say, Alex, let's go kill police. And I'm like, you're a big cop. I mean, what is this? You know we're nonviolent. Why, you know, get out of here. Because when the police do that, That's a crime. It's not even entrapment. It's provocateuring. They are trying to get a crime committed where people get hurt and killed. And in the case in Ohio, it came out in the Associated Press during the trial that the guys weren't planning anything. They weren't doing anything. They were led by this FBI informant whose idea it was. He just got them to shoot their mouths off. Yeah, you know, we ought to go ahead and do something. And then it was all over the news. A secret army of Muslims were going to kill everybody. They were deadly strike forces of the most vicious. They were planning to destroy all of America. You know, the black street kids who weren't even Muslim. It was Muslims were planning an army attack on every major city and to destroy and total destruction. It was a nationwide network of the most powerful, savage control mechanisms ever seen. They were trained. They were ready. Oh, my God. And then 6 months later came out. It was all staged. None of it was true. It was all made up. And they take the guys that bombed the World Trade Center. FBI cooked the bomb, trained the drivers. They were too dumb to even know where to park it. Thank God it didn't blow up the main support column. I mean, over and creating Klan groups. And the Southern Poverty Law Center tied into Elohim City and the white supremacist compound, Oklahoma City. Over and over and over again. But go ahead now, since I brought folks back up to speed on what we were talking about an hour and a half ago, and tell folks.
Everything that you say rings so true to me because the FBI, they investigated me. They came to my mother's house. They said they couldn't find where I lived. They went to my mother's house, and me and my son-in-law come over to my mother's. My dad had cancer at the time. I thought my dad died or something, because my mom's just like, come over. I want you to come over for a little while. And I get over there, and there's like four FBI guys in my house, or Homeland Security, in my mom's house. They took my son-in-law in one room and grilled him. They took me in another room and grilled me. And, you know, the strange part about it is, agendas being what they are, the mosque that I attended was mostly African Americans. The three people that they pulled out of there were all of Arab descent. I mean, it was planned from the beginning. The guy who was the FBI informant talked about he was fearing for his life after everything was said and done, getting $50,000 or $300,000 or whatever he got to come in and just, you know, make up a bunch of lies about people. I mean, it's repulsive.
Well, it came out in the news that he was leading it and commanding.
Yeah.
I
could tell you, I mean, I wish I had more time to tell you. I know you got a quick break coming up, but
happened.
Oh, this guy, and I'm going to use a stupid analogy, okay? You could say you liked Russian ballet on the Wii game system. This guy would tell you, oh, I've got a collection of that. And, you know, just come out, whatever you want to do, he wanted to do it with you all the time. I mean, just strange stuff. I went to the high school in Toledo, and the high school I went to is two rival high schools. He said he went to the other high school, and just for stake, it's Scott and Matt Cumber. He said he went to Matt Cumber. Everybody that I said I knew from there, he didn't know a doggone person. He swore up and down he was on the border between Kuwait and Iraq when Saddam Hussein gave the order to attack Iraq. He said he was special forces. Eastern Czechoslovakian gun. He said he was in special forces. That's at the height of the Cold War when he's supposedly being there. He should know everything about this damn gun being in special forces. He didn't even know what the damn gun was.
Well, let me
ask
you.
Obvious.
Well, I mean, hold on, sir. Specifically, was he trying to get you to, hey, we ought to attack somebody?
No, he would drop little hints because, like, you know, the mosque we attend, we spoke out against terrorism. We spoke out against all that stuff.
So he was being careful. I mean, the feds I've seen just openly sit down next to you in your seat at a restaurant and go, let's attack the State Department. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I got a wife and kids. I'm a radio host. I'm not weird because I want to come cover world leaders setting up a World Bank secretly in my country with Obama and Hillary in there secretly.
You're right.
But, I mean, go ahead.
They're a little bit more subtle. I mean, I'll put it like this. If I really want to infiltrate you, I'm not going to come in and say stuff that's counter to what you're trying to do. I'm going to know it better than you do. And I'm going to come in and say some things that will allow me to get in closer to what I consider to be the inner.
No, I understand.
There was no inner.
What would he say to you? He'd be lying.
He just said, you know, I'm trying to learn Arabic. He learned Arabic to a certain extent. He was pretty proficient. I mean, he portrayed himself as a new convert, and you know, he tried. My son-in-law was the imam, and he used to, you know, teach Arabic and stuff. He infiltrated and tried to get closer to people who were, you know, like nationally that we knew, just people that, you know, knew from different communities and everything. I mean, he tried all type of different ways to get these people arrested. One of the guys he tried to get was in a different city, and, you know, they'd already visited him, the FBI and stuff, and so he. the guy that was in a different city called and said, hey, I think this guy is a terrorist. And nothing happened to this guy. That's when we were all convinced. Because, I mean, a lot of people that were in the
mosque. The mosque is calling the feds saying, we think this guy is a terrorist. Do something.
Yes.
And nothing happens to him.
Did
he get the other guys to shoot their mouths off?
Oh, my God. If I, Alex, the three guys, okay, there's three of them that were supposedly in it. The one guy I kind of knew because he used to sell clothes and stuff. I bought clothes from him.
Well, you know, they have staged deals where even the guys they bust are staged, and none of it's real. That's come out where they'll arrest the top Al-Qaeda, and 2 years later they'll say, oh, it was really to protect him. We put him in a, you know, witness protection. It wasn't real. Oh, are you
right.
Go ahead.
He was the guy that always got a big deal, and it never came through. You know, I got $10 million coming in. You know, can I borrow 25 till it gets here? That's the kind of guy he was. The other two guys, I mean, the one that went over to Jordan, that guy was mentally insane. He was, I mean, I don't know if you know anything about a lot of Arabs, but Arabs usually got money. This guy would come to a group of African Americans who were struggling, asking for $5 to get the bus to go to school every day. So I don't know where he got the money to go to Jordan, except that this guy paid for it. And all the rest of the crap. Then the other guy, he was just a young guy. He didn't really know what was going on. He tripped up into a situation. Somebody told him some stuff, and you know, he watched some videos. Next thing you know, he's in a terrorist thing. I mean, if you ever looked at him when he's coming out of court, he is just like a deer in headlights. I didn't really know those two guys at all. I mean, I barely knew their names. But I mean, Alex, it's ridiculous the way. And see, people, a lot of people say, well, hey, it's you're Muslim, and you know, you're guilty, and it's okay. You should be a patriot and let the police come in and spy on you.
No, they say. Well, I mean, let me say. You know, there's all this about how they love the Arabs and they're not racist or bigoted. Let me tell you, in the military, you're called Hajis.
That's right.
And you're not human, and it's a big joke when they just shotgun a little kid, and the kid blows in half. They go, rogue leader, a little bastard, look at him crying.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, hey, let's get this family's car and run over it with a tank. There's video. Ah, look at this family drive by. And it's just like, and these people think that they're going to be safe in a government run by people like this. No, they're going to loot and rob all of us, folks. Criminals are in control.
You are 100% right, Alex. Like I said.
And by the way, they fund and train the military to commit these atrocities, and they put out the Abu Ghraib on purpose. The CIA put that out. That's been documented to make America be hated. And now they're saying America's fault for everything. It's going to implode. A new Bank of the World's going to form. And you understand the mastermind setup of this.
Oh, my God, Alex. Everything you're saying is so true, man. It's watching it from the inside. I mean, I had a very small run. I commend you for having the strength and the courage to put up with this crap on a regular and daily basis. I know you're a target nationally. And you know, I can't even imagine. I mean, they had helicopters following us and crap.
You can't believe the stuff. I mean, I don't talk much about it on air. It's been quite a circus. But you know, I just say, God, I'm doing the right, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing. I try to, you know, just stay forward. And it's not even fear anymore. It's just more gripping, like jumping into cold ice water. I'm just like, whoa, this is real. And, you know, that's how I can be up here at 2, 3 in the morning, totally exhausted with no sleep and keep working, because I go, anytime they could set me up, anytime they could kill me, I just got to get, you know, more salvos into the enemy in the info war. You know, I mean, literally, it's like I'm in a big gun firing at the enemy battleship, but it's coming at me firing. I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And I just got to stay at my post and just keep firing no matter what they do. But God bless you, my friend. I appreciate you calling the show. Let's take another call here. Let's talk to Rare in Taiwan. I would have gone to that first. I saw it was Taiwan. Rare, thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. How are
Welcome.
You?
Good.
Actually, it's Rare Kandar on your forum.
Okay, great, Rare Kandar. Welcome.
I need to say hi to all the folks on the forum, and especially JT Coyote for all of his excellent mentoring there. I'm just curious, have you ever had investigative journalists Mr. John Pilger on your program?
That name rings a bell. Pilger, what's he do?
Well, his recent documentary, War on Democracy, just won the 2008 One World Awards.
Oh, One World. Stay there. I want to hear about it when we come back. Stay there from Taiwan. Then Brent in Montana, Adam in Florida, and Paul in California. That'll be it for calls, because then I got to play some video clips and have Jason Burmes in studio. His new show launches tonight at Infowars.com on the audio streams and any AM and FM stations that want to pick it up. Tonight's the night to pick that up, and it'll also be over Genesis.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
That's right, we trust tell in God. That is our down. Fortress. All right, going back to Rare in Taiwan. Finish up your comments.
Yeah, again, that's Rare Candor. Anyways, the film is basically probably the most important part about it is how the United States government backed the elites, supported the elites in Chile to overthrow the government. I forget the president's name now, but how it got twisted around and how the people came back, the regular people, and took him back, got him back, put him back into government, and reinstalled him. It's a very interesting film. Again, it's War on Democracy. You can Google it and watch it for free. It's very interesting.
All right, got it, brother. Anything else from Taiwan?
No, sir. Nothing at all. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Brent in Montana. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you first and foremost for what you're doing for the country, and I believe that you're a patriot for what you do.
Thank you. I'm on a mission.
I'm sorry?
I'm on a mission. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to say real quick that I'm new to all of this. I'm new to politics, and it's been quite an eye-opener. This past election is what got me into it. My mom got me into watching Fox News at first, and that just one thing led to another. I eventually found your show. And you've opened my eyes to quite a few things. And I listen to a lot of the radio shows out there, just about all of them. And I think you're the best out there because you're speaking the actual truth. The other guys, they're great, but it's like they're scared to talk about what really needs to be talked about.
Or they nitpick a lot of them. There's a lot of great folks, though. Some of them nitpick absolutely about everybody else, and it's a personal power trip for them, and it's destructive, some of it that goes on. But you know what? That happens in any revolution against tyranny. That is what happens when you're dealing with millions of people, and that's just part of the ball game here.
No, yeah, I just want to just say that I'm really disgusted as an American. What is going on with our country? I served in the Marine Corps for 4 years. And the first time I came back from my first WESPAC, I literally kissed the ground when I came back, and I cried. I was happy to be back in America, and I'm just really saddened by what's going on. It really bothers me. And I just got done watching one of your videos on the Bohemian Grove that you did 9 years ago. And one of the things that you said was that even if you're an atheist, you should be very disturbed by this. And you hit it on the money. And, I've been pretty much raised atheist by an atheist my entire life. I don't consider myself an atheist anymore, but for the majority of my life, I was. And I believe you're right, even atheists should be...
Well, the New World Order programmers have taken over Christianity, to put out a false Christianity to make it look wicked and evil. But when you really study the New World Order, you find out they're occultists and they hate real Christians. And you find out that that is the major battle line, and they just don't want people to realize that. And then, truly, when you tap into God, when you tap into, that we're a species and that we're all interconnected and you do reap what you sow, and when you tap into the fact there is evil, there is good, then the whole system, the whole panacea, the whole plane in front of you that you see shifts into focus. They don't want you to have that clarity, that discernment. So come on in. God loves you, and God wants you, and we're all in this together, and we love you. So thank you so much for that call. We're going to come back, thank you, Brent, with Adam, Paul, and a few others. But we got Jason Burmes coming in studio as well, and some video clips that I'm going to be playing on the other side. Stay with us. Play a few audio clips. This is from federaljack.com. It's up on infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. CFR professor reveals plot for military coup in 2012. Now, this is a military coup. The Pentagon's announced. NORTHCOM dominates the U.S. Congress is ceremonial. The governors are ceremonial. And the states are saying, no, feds, you were created by us. And under the 9th and 10th Amendment, we are declaring sovereignty and saying no to you. So I want to play just a few minutes of this. It's, again, up on InfoWars.com. Folks on the radio can hear the audio. PrisonPlanet.tv viewers can watch it right now. But we have links to it for everybody up on InfoWars.com. Here it is. Guys, pump me some audio in there. Okay, let's rewind that. And while we're figuring this out, we've made some studio changes in here with the upcoming new show. So who knows what's going on with that. But let's cue it back up and see if we can get some audio on that feed so we can play that audio. Feed for everybody. Okay, I have a backup system of Minnesota. This is Cape Canaveral calling. You have the CFR audio clip I sent you, right? It's all ready. Go ahead and play that for folks.
The second question that I'd like to pose relates to the forces driving the emergence of the Second World. And have they had an unintentional impact on something that has not been mentioned as well today in any of the discussions, namely civil-military relations in the United States? I'd like to call your attention to an analysis by Charles Dunlap in the U.S. Army War College's academic magazine called Parameters. In this analysis, Mr. Dunlap predicts that there will be a military coup in the United States in the year 2012, in part because we've asked our military to do too much outside of the traditional national security realm. For Mr. Kanaan, has the emergence of the Second World been so destabilizing as to lead to mission creep to the extent that it could lead the Army War College to predict, unofficially of course, that there will be a military coup within the next 3 to 4 years?
All right, stop right there. There's already been a military coup, but this is what the Army War College is saying they're going to do separately, and then they write other reports saying this is going to happen. This is what happens when the military gets involved in your daily life. It's why it's been illegal here. It's not illegal in the Congo, not illegal in Mexico, not illegal in Russia, not illegal in China, wasn't illegal in Nazi Germany. It happened. It will happen. It is happening. The denial has to end. Okay, were we able to get audio and video back, or just it, never again we'll have it? Okay. That's a good thing for you tonight with the show coming up that you know that now. Yeah. Let's go ahead and play the audio of Ron Paul at the big CPAC neocon meeting where he talks about we killed 1 million-plus Iraqis, and he talks about how war isn't good, and the people actually cheer him, showing that mainline conservatives, he got the most donations from the military of any candidate, actually aren't for this. Just like the media claims, all Hispanics want open borders. Gallup poll shows upwards of 80% or higher. That's groupthink. If Hispanic goes, well, I better be for open borders then because all Hispanics are for it. Not true. I'm a conservative. I better be for war because all conservatives are for it. Now the Democrats are like, well, I guess we're pro-war because now Obama's for it. This is this groupthink. Let's go ahead and play the Ron Paul speech. Here it is.
But we ought to address the subject of foreign policy. Part of the reasons why we lost this last election was the foreign policy issue. Generally speaking, the presidential candidate who argues the case for less warmongering will win the election. And, of course, Obama took the advantage of it. You know, he says, I'm going to end war in Iraq, and I'm going to bring those troops home and solve all the problems. And he won the election. So this generally is the case. But the truth is, foreign policy hasn't changed. We should be looking more to what George Bush said in the year 2000. He was strongly critical of the Clinton years of nation building and being the policeman of the world, what we were doing in Bosnia and Somalia. And he won the election. He said some very, very good things. But after that, he again joined the internationalists, joined this idea that the American taxpayers, you, have an obligation to take care of everybody and police the world and put our military out there and be exposed to all this danger. It doesn't make any sense. This is literally what bankrupts the country, is the international expenditures. It costs us $1 trillion a year to take care of our foreign policy, and that cannot last. And it is coming to an end. Matter of fact, the person most pleased with our foreign policy is Osama bin Laden, because he has written about this and he said, I am going to get you to come over here and we'll fight you on our sand and we will do what we did to the Soviets. Of course, we helped him do what he did to the Soviets because we subsidized and supported him to drain the Soviets. And he said he will do the same thing. He will eventually bankrupt this country. And lo and behold, we are weaker for it. Our military personnel are fatigued. I was very proud of what happened last year in the campaign, because I talk about the old conservative, Republican, non-interventionist, constitutional foreign policy, and we, in our campaign, got the most money than any candidate from the military. But historically, great nations end when they overextend themselves overseas, whether it's back to the Roman days or the Soviets or whatever. The country feels so emboldened that they go and they think themselves as being overly wonderful and that we are going to spread our message. It actually started in World War I. The truth is, there was no need for us to be involved in World War I. But who wasn't? But there it was. It was Woodrow Wilson said, we have to do it because we have to make the world safe for democracy, which led to this millions, hundreds of millions of people killed in the 20th century. So we're back at the same thing. We have to go and spread our goodness in the Middle East. So, yeah, we wanted to get rid of a bad guy in Iraq. We did. But it took another 1 million Iraqis got killed. Believe me, they weren't all terrorists. Some people didn't particularly like that. But nevertheless, it pleased Osama bin Laden because we were there, we were bankrupting our country, and right now, today, we get a new president that says he didn't like the war that was going on. So what are we going to do? We're going to drag another 17,000 Americans and pump them into Afghanistan. Don't we know anything about history? It is bankrupting our country. It will end, whether the people agree with me or not, it will end because we can't afford it. That's the way it's always ended throughout history. That's what the financial crisis is telling us. The welfare state will end because the money will quit working and we will no longer be able to afford to promote what we're doing around the world. And the sooner we realize that, the better.
All right, well, that was Congressman Ron Paul, and obviously I disagree with him about the Osama bin Laden thing. The real Osama bin Laden letters that came out said he didn't do 9/11. He was a CIA operative, and his family builds all the major U.S. military bases in Saudi Arabia and surrounding areas. But he, you know, he's playing politics with the CPAC and bringing up that real terrorism, real terrorist groups, anybody that resist, has been increased by the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan. And but there they are cheering to not wanting to be in the war, cheering to, you know, when they're shown the logic of all of this. This is CPAC. And he was the lone voice there out of all the Republicans that were there, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and countless others in that two-day event. Rush Limbaugh's speech was carried on Fox and C-SPAN, but not Ron Paul's, should have been. Though it was carried on some national news stations, because the establishment's having to admit Ron Paul is huge. Ron Paul is having an effect. People are really waking up to the message that the banks are behind it and engineering it. I want to get into, with Jason Burmes, this global new deal, and Gordon Brown, who's always calling for a new world order, the Prime Minister of England, coming over here to sell this new global banking system to stop the bad banks, who are the ones setting up and that financed him and are setting up the global banking system. So we're going to go to that here in just a moment. First off, a few sponsors I want folks to know about that make this radio show possible. SurvivalSeedBank.com. In a real crisis, having non-hybrid seeds means having the ability to grow an endless supply of nutrient-dense food to feed your loved ones. There have been times in American history, Pilgrim, for example, when seeds had the highest value of any barter item, even silver or gold. There's a war on against non-hybrid seeds. I got a BBC article about another giant UN vault of them. Governments are storing seeds all over the planet. Solutions from Science is trying to get the seeds out of the globalist hands into the hands of the people, one seed bank at a time, one family at a time. SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365, or SurvivalSeedBank.com. Great seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO. And then lastly, and we're going to Jason Burmes, Acolablue.com, atmospheric water generator for your home, pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store, pure clean water without the fluoride, unlimited water from humidity in the air. Machine produces up to 7.5 gallons a day. In fact, that's what I drink here in the office. In fact, can I have a glass of that? Because my throat's been a bit dry and I was wanting water earlier. Thank you. So again, great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. And I say in the ad it has five filters. They corrected me. It's seven filters. 877-691-6043, 800-691-6043, or acolablue.com. Without further ado, Jason Burmes, very excited to have you here. You're going to be starting your new show here out of my studio via Genesis Communications coming up this evening, 9 to midnight Central. Good to have you here, Jason.
Well, thanks for having me, Alex.
You bet, buddy. Tell us a little bit about the show, and then let's get into this stack of news you have here.
Sure. You know, my new show is going to be Monday through Friday. It's called The Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, and we're going to be covering, you know, globalist agendas, New World Order stuff, sci-tech, really trying to blitz through news and information. I think, you know, what we're about to talk about, Gordon Brown, head of the UK, really pushing for globalization here and admitting, Alex, over the weekend to a global shadow banking system. You see, this is something that you have talked about since the inception of your show, and now the EU leaders are talking about it in order to establish not only that it's real, but more global supervision.
But it's a bait and switch. Oh, you've discovered there's a secret global banking system that ran the collapse. Oh, we're going to fix it with a new global bank made up of the very banks running it all, and it'll be called the New World Order. It's all over the news. I mean, this is an incredible bait and switch.
Absolutely.
This is like a bank robber when the police show up dressing in a police uniform going, they went that way. Let me manage the bank next time. I'll fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just read a couple of the quotes right here. He is calling for a more rigorous global supervision of a banking system on Saturday. And he's saying that this is a, we have to have global supervision of what is a shadow global system. Here he calls it an international shadow banking system. An international shadow banking system. Something, again, you have talked about for over a decade. But the problem is,
hey, I have a news article. I was going through a stack from 2 months ago with the head of the Rothschild family saying, we're setting up a global government. The final global bank's about to be set up. World government. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just all over the news.
It's there. And, you know, he's also calling for a global new deal with the U.S. It's right here. Okay.
This is financial terrorism. They're saying, let us have our world government, and then we'll turn the economy back on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because they got us debilitated on a respirator, and then they turned the respirator off. They hit us on the head, drained our blood, put us on a respirator, and they're leaning over to us going, give us total control, and we'll turn the respirator back on. Do you agree? Do you agree?
He wants President Obama to agree to bold global action, a global grand bargain. It's now not just necessary, but vital for a world economy. And here he's saying, that we need this global New Deal in order to have a truly global society. It's all about globalism, Alex. And, you know, talk about
a global government for a global crisis.
Talk about global picks. What do we have here? Well, he just named Sebelius, who was the Kansas governor, who was, of course, at the Bilderberg Group. She's on the official list to his administration. So if people out there don't understand that these secret meetings are where they decide who's going to be in the administration.
It's kingmaking.
It's right here, okay? It's not a coincidence that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were at the Bilderberg meeting this year and that they're taking Bilderbergers into their administration. We need to get this out there, Alex, because this shadow system is becoming more and more out in the open, and we have to make sure that they don't pull this bait and switch where they offer just another globalist solution to a problem that they created.
And it's not a problem. That's why we have Henry Kissinger, and in those same articles, there's two from the Times of London with Brown. He's saying this crisis is not a crisis. It's an opportunity to bring in a new order, mm-hmm. a new world order. We will defeat the vicious evil banks with the very same bankers ruling us. That's how we'll defeat them.
And you know, Alex, this seems to tie in with the carbon credit system because this
I got it all in the documents. You're going to pay your carbon credits to them.
And Gordon Brown is one of these guys.
How dare you, you vicious knave!
He is just a global warming
fearmonger. Seize him immediately.
In fact, you know, I think I printed you an article last week that you didn't go over, but now they're saying that toilet paper, Alex, it's worse than SUVs and us Americans.
No, beef, chicken, asphalt, natural gas, your homes, windows, trash pickup, thousands of new taxes. I keep saying hundreds. I mean, doing research for this film, it's everything.
Yeah.
Everything with federal international taxes paid directly to the new Bank of the World.
I mean, really, what's it going to be like in 20 years? Are we just going to get a government
20 years? They've announced they're going to put satellite tracker boxes in all the cars.
Yeah, well, I think that's even probably in the next 5, 10. I don't think that's even going to be 20 down the line. I mean, if we don't do anything.
No. States are already putting it in, like Oregon. They're doing tests here in Austin with people with them in their cars. And then when opposition builds, Obama goes, we're not going to do that right now. And then they move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, people are still bamboozled. I don't hear the outcry now to end the war now that Obama has given us this very convenient
timetable. Now I have liberals when we go downtown to, you know, videotape clips for the film. Well, what do you think of Obama? It's like, he's got to keep the troops there for security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, well, he says that the secret arrest is going to continue to keep us safe from Al-Qaeda.
And you just can't get through to them. I mean, when you now tell somebody that he's planning to have combat troops, and there's no such thing as a non-combat troop, in there until the end of 2011. Okay, this is yet staging for another election year. He's going to redistribute the forces into Afghanistan. But even at the end of 2011, he's saying 50,000 troops. And I'm not going to be surprised when we get to 2011 and it's not 50,000, it's 150,000. And the Iraqi special forces that we've trained are now going into places like Afghanistan and other parts of the Middle East, aiding us. You know, they're going to be our allies. And we're really.
And again, that psychology, you say us, and I do that too, like it's still our military, still our country. Yeah. Until we realize it's not our government, it's not our military, and take it back, it's only going to get worse.
I agree. And I really hope that people step up and take this president and his administration to task. Folks, 2011, especially they're talking December of 2011, is completely and totally unacceptable, and it's not even a complete withdrawal. I mean, we've been.
No. They're saying major combat operations will be over in a year and a half mm-hmm. or longer, when Bush said 6 months into the war, 5.5 years ago, that major combat operations were now over.
It was over.
So he's using the same old Pentagon tricks over and over again. Final segment with Bermie. And by the way, 9 to midnight, Central Standard Time, he is going to be live in studio here on the Genesis, on the satellites, everything. Stations out there, hot new live nighttime show. Hope you pick it up. We'll be right back. It seemed like yesterday, but it was long ago. She was lovely. She was the queen of our lives. There in the darkness with the radio playing low.
All those drifters days are past me now.
I've got so much more
to think about.
Deadlines
and commitment.
It's the Alex Jones Karaoke Show. Brought to you by ecolablue.com. Against the wind. All right, Bermas. You know, the stock market went below 7,000 today. It's now at 7,063.
12-year low, right?
No, that is, yes, 12-year low since 1997. Against the wind. All right, I'm going to stop it now.
Hey, it's classic. It's hard not to sing along to, right?
I'd rather be fishing right now with headphones on.
It's a gorgeous day out, too, right? So, but we got to fight. You know, we got to
fight the New World Order. 9 to midnight, you got Gia Griffin on tonight, going over the history of the New World Order, how it operates, you know, how they control the left and right, the different roundtable groups. You got him on for 2 hours?
I believe I have him from 10 to 11, and then we're going to take calls in the final hour. First hour, I'm going to try to go over the modern New World Order. We're going to show the Gordon Brown New World Order speech just to get people associated with who this guy is. I think we're going to be seeing him in the news, especially in the United States, a lot in the next 6 months as they restructure an overt globalist banker takeover, which I'm calling Obamanomics.
As they said in the Trilateral Commission in the 70s, they would get us all in debt, implode the economy, and then they're the bankers that have the fiat currency to the whole world.
You know, I was looking at that Obama magazine that's out there on the stands, and I didn't even realize, I mean, this guy is the total front man, that this wasn't a Time magazine. It's set up like Time magazine. It looks exactly like Time magazine, except for where it says Time, it says Obama. And Aaron's like, take a look at this. And I look at it, and right away I think it's Time magazine. Then I realize it has a $12 price tag. And I'm like, well, what is this? And you open it up, and it is just complete propaganda. It is a total Obama
publication. No, folks, and they've never in U.S. history put this much propaganda behind somebody. They're planning terror attacks. You watch more wars. So they got to get this group of zombies to do whatever he says so they can use that group of the American people as a weapon through his Obama brigade, which they're openly set up under the Pentagon. It's now official. They're doing it against the people. That's why the Obama deception is so important. I mean, we're really taking the New World Order on toe-to-toe. The first Obama film, and it's going to be the most hardcore. All his lies, all his treason, his globalist agenda. And it's really all about the banking system, how they're setting up a new bank of the world. Totally timely. Listeners, you have to make this film go mega viral at prisonplanet.tv. March 15th, it'll be posted in high quality. Burn it to disc. Give it to folks. Pre-order the high-quality DVD right now to make copies at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139 or the ObamaDeception.net or ObamaDeception.net. That'll take you there as well. I mean, you've been seeing the film down here. You've been down here for a week and a half. What do you think of it?
It looks amazing. And, you know, this is the first film to really have a lot of HD news footage as well as HD interviews that you guys shot. So this is probably visually the most high quality Prison Planet production out there yet, and it just looks totally and completely impressive.
And we shot it in HD, but it won't be total HD on the DVD, but it has the HD look.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously you have to compress the DVD, but it really has a clean look. And Rob has really outdone himself with the editing. The special effects you've gotten for this thing look great. I'm in love with the cover. I think the girl that you got to do the cover, I think that's going to be an iconic image. I think that's going to be passed around. Just the cover is going to make people want to see this film.
Well, folks haven't seen the official cover yet, but it's similar to the ObamaDeception.net website. Coming up in how many hours? How many hours is it till 9 o'clock tonight?
I believe it's 5 hours away. Wait, we're 4 o'clock right now. No, 3. 6 hours away.
6 hours away. I went to public school. It's like,
I'm still on Eastern time, Jones.
All right. Oh, no, me. I'm like, how many hours? It's 3 to 9 tonight. Mark your calendars for this evening with Burmy. And I'll probably be finishing on the mastering of the film. It's being sent off tomorrow to be mass produced, so I'll be around. Maybe I'll pop in as well. But Burmese will be in this seat tonight. Retransmission starts at one place right now, InfoWars.com on the web and AM and FM stations. Rebroadcast it later. God bless you. See you tomorrow.